This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, it does appear that most everything I've asked the computer to do as of yet is working. So
most.
Except Alec, for some reason, does no mic. What? No, that's really weird. No. Go, wait, try.
Is there not enough switch on this?
I have it labeled wrong. I have you labeled as Marnie. My bad.
Good use of labels.
Yeah. I'll have to fix that.
That was effective.
Yeah. So that is that is that technically a technical?
Oh, yeah. That's more than qualified.
Clearly, yes.
I mean, you made the lamb stop screaming, so I guess there's that.
Gotcha.
It's
well, hi, everybody.
Time.
It's a Tuesday night. It is the 6th of September, 2016. I am in studio. Oh, by the way, show 274. And I just keep saying that because at some point it's going to mean something to somebody. Marnie has called out tonight. She's got a case of the my plate is too full-itis. So she is out.
Too many tacos.
Maybe it was Taco Tuesday. Maybe from last week. She
filled me up.
Good time. Yeah. How did your taco thing work out?
It worked out just fine. The whole post was a dig at Sharon, who was still at work.
Oh.
And I kept repeatedly telling her, leave work because I'm hungry.
I need you to stop somewhere and get tacos.
Right. I clearly don't have car keys and the ability to
right.
go find my own.
You're not
food.
A fully functioning
well,
young man.
We don't know. There could be a part of your day where maybe you shouldn't be driving a car in search of tacos.
That's a good point. You do seem to go do those what do you call them, boozy mom meetings?
Yeah. Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally.
All right. Well, anyway, it's just Kat Carlson and Al Perkins and myself so far. There is a chance that Bootsy Lamone will stop by a little bit later. He's at dinner with his mom.
For his birthday.
On his birthday, happy which birthday. Is today.
If he does stop by, it's officially a birthday tour.
Oh, it could
be.
Yeah.
Stop 2 does make that official.
That's true.
Well, we probably will get him to do a stop 3 because he has to be up so god-off early in the morning, but it's all right.
That's fine. It still qualifies as a tour.
Oh, yes. But you're here, everybody. Joe is in the chat room. Meow Cal and Drew is in there. Hello. Drew, I already appreciate the fact that you've used a phrase from last week about being grand staircased. That was from Jason Carlton last week. That was so funny. And by the way, if you're hearing this, the show was recorded last week, but it's posted on Facebook, or excuse me, on YouTube without video. It's an audio only because in the rush of trying to record the damn thing, it only recorded the audio portion. Doesn't matter. Seeing us, we're pretty much the same all the time.
And because I listen to it, I never watch it. I just listen to it. I didn't realize there was no picture towards the end. I glanced over. I'm like, oh
there's that. whatever.
Very observant.
It's all right.
Good work.
Oh, my heavens. Well, Kat has brought snacks. We have grapes, and what are these little things? Lunchable something?
Well, they were on a very pretty display as I was standing for about an hour in line at the grocery store today.
Okay.
And I'm kind of not exaggerating.
Well, shoot, you were making it sound as though the people in North Scottsdale think the apocalypse is coming.
They appear to have had some sort of apocalypse tip-off because I've never... Like, not on Thanksgiving, not on, like, right before any other holiday. The only other time that I've ever seen a grocery store mobbed that way is when I lived on the East Coast and they would talk blizzard.
Right.
And then clearly everyone would suddenly need eggs, milk, bread, and toilet paper to get them through.
Sure.
They
whatever.
Needed them. They were just able to blow them off of the I'll get it tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow.
But if it's just
3 feet. Kleenex for tonight, honey. Mommy's going to go to the store tomorrow and get real toilet paper.
Right. So apparently someone said hurricane on the news.
Yes.
And I think the fine folks of North Scottsdale thought that an actual hurricane, instead of just some rain left over from a hurricane, I think they thought an actual hurricane.
Because that
was
thing is spinning
by.
Up the
it
Sea
is.
Of Cortez or whatever we call
yeah.
it. Okay. I was all nervous because I just saw a glance. I tried to avoid the news all weekend to get Trump out of my
good
brain.
Good thinking.
Because I felt my blood pressure was rising to very unhealthy levels.
No.
That's not okay.
After his breakdown on... was that Wednesday night or Thursday night that it all went wrong?
Oh, the here in town
when, he was,
when
here?
He was here?
Yeah, just pure fucking evil.
Yeah.
And I really did. So I turned off the news but I just happened to catch, like, I didn't have it on in patient's room or anything. We stayed on all kinds of channels that weren't news on purpose.
A lot of Disney.
But I did see some red thing spinning towards the southern Arizona border, and I was like, I wonder what, because it was just 2 short years ago that we were hit by the storm. on a Sunday. Yeah, that was been a Sunday night that we were at Denny's and you were screaming at the people because the hurricane hit for the Uber driver and the Prius to take his electric car.
I just wanted her to drive through the water. Just
was that
go.
2 years already?
Seems like.
Goodness.
Yeah, it was the night Joan Rivers died because we all sat in the Denny's doing, and there was no one in there because everybody else had gone home and evacuated.
Because they were smart. Right.
People
so it was the cook,
had
the waitress, and
ground.
The two of us and Barbara Saville. Telling each other Joan Rivers jokes all night. Somebody else, there was somebody else with us. There was a fourth person.
I don't recall who.
Some rando.
No idea.
God, I hope it wasn't a friend.
Well, they aren't now. I don't recall. It was a tiny car that picked us up, and it should not. That car should not even have been out. Like, the rain had filled all the gutters everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm, I remember.
She'd pulled up in front of the Denny's. Right there, like the water and the bottom of the car door were parallel.
But the water and many car doors were about parallel because it was a river.
Yeah, but I'm just like, just drive, just go. I was, in my defense, I had been overserved previously that evening.
And he wasn't hungry or needed a drink because they made us everything at Denny's and kept bringing us out plates of food. It was actually kind of funny.
Right on.
Well, they had their
because your birthday was coming. We were kind of celebrating your birthday at the time.
And Joan died. So there was so much to celebrate. It was a Sunday. Al was out with us.
It was raining.
All these things. Oh, yeah, the rain was a big one. But nothing will ever top the rain, though it wasn't. It was probably in monsoon season. I don't remember the exact date. Nothing will ever top, though, the night that Al and I rode home from, I want to say karaoke or drag race, something from Apollo's.
I think it was drag bingo.
Maybe drag bingo. And we rode, it just started pouring.
It was a microburst, like right on us.
Right. So we got like 150 yards from the bar. We're fine. We're going to make it home. And then it just downpoured. And we laughed so hard and rode down Missouri all the way over to 7th Avenue and just held it.
And we had to hide under the awning at French Grocery because we couldn't, like, you couldn't see anymore.
Right.
It was so funny.
And then everybody next day was like, it didn't rain last night.
Like,
and
I'm like, bullshit.
Fuck you, it didn't rain. I don't know what the fuck I was driving in then. So I just saw that thing and just realized, like, oh, we usually have a storm around now. It's usually time for something to hit us.
Well, that's all right. We can get
I didn't know if it had been upgraded. Because that one that hit us 2 years ago hit us still churning. Like, I think it hit us at, like, a tropical storm.
Yeah.
Like, the lowest hurricane, highest tropical storm. That's why that went so batshit crazy. The once in 100 years rain.
I don't even know. I haven't
then it happened again this summer. They did the... Okay, so you got to change that name from once every 100 years since it's the second time in
to like
2
every
years.
Other year.
But there's nothing climate change isn't happening. Nothing to look at, nothing here.
No.
It's a Newton apparently. That's what it is. It's a Hurricane Newton, is that what they're calling it?
You're reading it.
Sure.
Well, I'm just asking.
I don't have my handy list of this year's hurricanes in the
I'm on there. I'm on the weather.com site and they have a big map that shows us getting a big red splotch. Hurricane Newton makes second landfall in northwest Mexico. Will bring moisture surge to southwest U.S.
Sounds amazing.
Surge is a great person.
We're just going to flood our basement. Usually only looking at men from Tonga does that, but
well,
in this case.
Hey, he's from the south somewhere. That's all right. We'll figure. Ooh.
I feel like they're different.
Mama say, mama saw. Yeah, they're a little different. Yes, they are. Mama die, she's in there. Hello. In the old chat room. Mom's a little bit of an empty nester this week because on Sunday we took her sister had been visiting for a week and on Sunday we took her to the airport. And normally when we take her, we just, you know, we do the tuck and roll at the drop off point, make her get out.
Slow down 5 miles an hour, open the door and kick.
That's normal. This year, we just parked the car, walk in, check the bag, do the whole thing, walked her clear to, you know, close to the security gate we could without getting arrested, and then, you know, said all her goodbyes. So mom's an empty nester this week with getting back to just her and the cat and her own little routine.
Aww.
So yeah, but they had a very good visit, and hopefully it won't be that long before Susie comes back out and sees us again. Oh, heaven sakes. Well, in light of, we're not waiting for her, so we might as well continue on.
This is the part where we usually wait for her.
But Marty's usually here about now, and we just say, oh, hi. No, anywho, so Kat Carlson, you had a busy week. You keep posting a lot from your place of business.
Yeah, I did a little bit of work. I think I worked 12 out of 14 days.
Oh, wow.
Which was kind of a
somebody
lot.
On vacay?
A couple of somebodies.
Or on permanent vacay, if
well,
you know what I mean.
Couldn't get
Your
so
services
lucky.
Will not be needed any longer here.
Couldn't get so lucky.
Oh! But
No, you know what goes around comes around. So eventually, I'm going to want some time off. So I tend to pick up shifts. You know,
grease those little gears.
Right.
I'm
poor, so that helps.
Oh,
more work is more money.
I didn't actually think of the financial aspect of that coming to fruition.
That helps too.
Gotcha. All right.
So yeah, so I just kind of made a conscious too much on my plate decision last week because last Tuesday was my only opportunity to be home at all. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
With all of the people and I had picked up so much work, and so I said, "Well, they're gonna miss me," and I'm so sorry about how much you missed me. But no, I stayed home and ate tacos.
We ate them here.
Yeah,
that's good.
It all worked out well. Strangely, it all works out.
You know, as you were telling that story, I was realizing that oh my God, let it out. If Katie June would have kept with your rationale of about how maybe occasionally taking a night off of something and staying home,
sure,
she could still be on this show.
She might still be on this show. Yeah.
From her bed rest, a couple months in that bed rest chair.
Oh no, but I mean, she stopped long before that because.
Oh no, I know.
She had so many irons
in
the fire.
So many things, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and it's easy to do because you say, oh, well, sure, I can do that. That's only 2 hours a week, or that's only 4 hours a week.
But her world got to be, there were too many hours a week, and then it wound up being on all days. Yeah. But she still does. I'm pretty sure, even though she's had the children and, you know, they're making the new routines all work for them,
sure.
You know she's going to overload her ass again.
That's what you do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because now she's going to try and juggle it with three.
Mm-hmm.
Well, three toddlers.
She already called me last week, and I'm booked into an event with her on the 1st of October.
Oh, good for you.
Rawhide. Just doing a little thing. It's an early thing. We're going out. We're doing some red carpet. We're announcing red carpet entries or something in some event. And that's all we're doing.
That sounds lovely.
We don't
have
to be part of the event. We go, and we just pour out.
Sounds wonderful.
Give me my check.
Good for
and
you.
Let me move on. Oh, whoa, who's that?
Me, I'm so sorry.
Oh, do you want to take the call in the air?
I don't.
Oh.
funny story now.
No, you know, I'm plagued by the the scam phone calls.
Oh.
So they look like a legitimate American number, but they're all from India, and they're either, I think I finally pissed off the online pharmacy people, and so now I've got the we need to fix your PC people.
Oh, they're like making a big surge again. I'm seeing and hearing a lot of that.
They're super aggressive, and I, you know, occasionally I do have a little time on my hands, and so once in a while when they call...
Oh, you'll string them along?
I sure the fuck will. And the last time that I strung one along, here's what happened. So they go through and they say, oh, well, you know, we noticed there's a problem with your computer. We want to help you fix it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was killing time before work, actually. I had pulled up in front of work, and I was too early, and I was like, well, I don't want to go in. Oh, I'm going to answer this call. He says, I noticed you're having trouble with your computer. And I said, oh, my God, thank you so much for calling me. I've been trying to figure out how to fix this. What do I do? What do I do?
And what credit card do you want?
Yeah.
You know what? We never even got there. He says, well, you have to be in front of your computer. I said, okay, hold on a second.
Right.
Okay, I'm in front of
my computer. Well, walking through that van takes a long time. There's a lot of room in there.
I said, okay, I'm here. Now what? He says, well, it has to be turned on. I said, oh, well, that's a good idea. Let me turn it on a second.
That's good advice. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Right, exactly.
And so then he says, well, what I need you to do, and I can't remember the key combination that he wanted.
Right.
But it eventually opens a command prompt.
Uh-huh.
And so he says, well, press this and this. I said, okay, I did. Now what? He says, well, what do you see on the screen? I said, absolutely nothing. Nothing has happened.
Oh.
He says, well, you need to press it again.
Partial lie, partial truth.
Yeah, see?
Yeah. I'm considering politics.
That mind inspector really is starting to look up.
So he says, do it again. I said, okay, press it again. He says, well, what do you see on your screen? I said, nothing. Nothing has happened. I'm pushing the keys. Help me fix my computer. I don't know what I'm going to do if I don't get my computer fixed.
Oh, now the pressure's on him.
Right.
Oh!
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So then very quickly, it becomes clear that he's out of script and doesn't know what to do.
Sure.
He has no idea what to do. He says, well, you're not pushing the keys. I said, the fuck I'm not.
Oh,
duh.
Oh.
Yeah, then I got angry at him. Don't you call me a liar. I'm not
right.
a liar. I
pushed
the
here.
Keys. Nothing happened. You're here. You're supposed to help me. What do I do? How do I fix my computer? He says, no, you're not in front of your computer. You're lying to me. We go back and forth like this for a minute. And the end of his script, you know what it was? He got real, real quiet for a second, and then he like must have leaned into his phone, because I'm sure his supervisor would be real thrilled to hear him say this, because he leaned in real close and he said, Well, you can suck my dick.
Oh! Oh, no kidding.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you bait them enough, they'll just get abusive with you. If you're into
offer inappropriate sex on the phone.
Challenge accepted.
Wow.
And so I said to him, I said, well, is that going to fix my computer?
Well played.
Well, apparently it's not a hard drive, it's a floppy drive problem, sir.
But yeah, so that's likely what this call was, because it left a...
Now, I was going to share with
you... And most of them are recorded for your safety.
No, I keep getting the live ones out of India.
But you know how they always say they're recording this?
Oh, yeah. Right. For quality control purposes. Yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, that's one of the new... the things that they were coming up with, obviously... Way out of sequence on this. Cosby's going, they set a date for his trial, which is next June, I guess, right? So part of the thing, one of the things today that they were going, and I didn't hear all of it, but when they were going into court today, one of the things was they were trying to get thrown out was whether or not the recording of him calling the mother, I believe it is, of the victim. They were talking on the phone. She's in Canada. He was in California at the time, but the trial's in Pittsburgh, so they were going back and forth as to where would this fall, a recording, what law is it going to fall under?
I think in California, both parties have to know they're being recorded.
But she was in Canada, I don't want to use that word, but it's like different than our laws, yada, yada, yada. State of Arizona, I think it is, as long as one of the people in the recording knows it's happening, it's legal. But it changes from all 50 states, whatever. But anyway, they were talking about the fact that the laws are having to be rewritten so fast because these laws were all written when there was literally only one or two ways to record a phone conversation.
Right.
Now you can do it 100 different
ways.
One
of them you would hear the...
Yeah.
Right.
Or in the background.
And the other one is, depending on where you call, every 30 or 60 seconds there's the beep. Like NASA. Remember when you'd hear... When you would talk...
We were always on the phone together.
Right.
You know, I didn't really like to talk on the phone with NASA. Yeah. They were kind of dry.
No, but remember when you would hear they would talk to the shuttle and it was recorded, sure. And every like 30 to 60 beep. Seconds there'd be beep, beep, beep. Beep. But the recording used to be the same way. Now there's apps on your phone. You can just hit it, talk on your phone. It's all recorded. The other person doesn't know it or whatever. But it would be fun to record them. I'd love to have heard that live. We could have played it right here on the show.
If only I'd have thought ahead.
I have an app on my phone called SyncMe, SYNC.me. And that one has a database built into it that it updates every few days that known spam numbers.
Oh, okay.
It marks them, and then the phone will ring, but the entire screen turns red, and it says, you know, noted as a spam call. You have the option to answer it or just send it to voicemail. But it alerts you right away. But they're getting crafty because all of a sudden numbers are starting to come from, it looks like it's, you know, Gila Bend, or it's, you know, Casa Grande, or it's local.
One, I think this one looked like Tucson.
Right. Yeah, they're getting kind of crafty with that shit, but a lot of especially like 800 numbers and 888 numbers are that way. But I love that little app for that, so I just ignore a lot. And then the other one is that stupid online pharmacy or whoever those people are.
Ugh.
I love the block. I'm assuming you have it on your phone as well, where you just put them in a block list.
I just did, yeah.
I love my block list is enormous, and I can't imagine if I were to ever just refresh that and start over, what would happen to me?
Well, now that I've learned about that block feature, mm-hmm. I'm delighted. Thank you very much for letting me. I just like delete the call info, block this call.
Yeah,
but and it is my fault because I donated several times to a certain lady's campaign this year, have unleashed the hounds, as it were.
I haven't had too bad with regards to that. I don't know why, but I haven't.
The emails are almost unbearable.
Are aggressive
every 7 minutes.
Oh. Yeah, the emails are almost unbearable.
I've got Cory Booker. I've got the whole Clinton family. I've got Obama emailing me.
I'm apparently going to dinner with
Uncle
somebody.
I've got Uncle Joe emailing me.
Uncle Joe.
I'm always being invited to fucking dinner.
Yeah. Oh, there's always that chance. Well, I think we weren't on the air when they did the Hamilton giveaway.
Oh.
Where if you donated
$19. I saw that one too.
So I donated to that one.
Twice.
First you click the button for the first chance, and then your second chance is only $19.
I know.
For a chance to see Hamilton in July. So I had because I was convinced I was going to win. So I had everybody on alert.
How was this
problem with Powerball? That's why I'm not allowed to play Powerball because
how
I'm
was
convinced
the
that I won.
How is the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes working out for you too? How
many? Really well. Every New Year's Day, I just sit by the door and wait for Ed McMahon. Is he still alive?
No.
I don't think
oddly
so.
No. Oddly, no, he is not.
That's going to put a slight delay.
They have another drunk gray-haired guy running around handing out shit, though. So you'll be, but eventually.
I haven't gone far enough in a conversation to find out that there's pharmacy people after me. I'm unaware of this phenomenon.
I get the Canadian pharmacy, and then there's some online meds or some shit they call.
Yeah, the online pharmacy people are terrible.
Oh, the other one I'm getting, and I'm sure this is stimulating to everybody who's listening to this. The other one is, I don't recognize the number. I let it go to voicemail, and it's this, "Hi, it's Tim again, calling to make sure you got that email I sent you about that $250,000 line of credit for your business. Just waiting to hear back from you. I've got all the paperwork ready to go for you, so just give me a call back," you know, whatever number.
He sounds nice.
But it's just the most polished, wonderful little voicemail. Yeah, we already had that conversation the other day on the phone, but no, we never did, Tim. No, don't know who you are.
Sorry, Tim.
Yeah, and I always wondered, like, just make a list of things when you call, of all the things you smoked before we had this conversation or drank, because you clearly think I'm having some kind of memory problem.
Yeah, because they outline everything for me.
Oh, remember that? No.
No.
Funny, I don't.
Where were we, Tim? Can you tell me that?
No. Unfortunately, it's old people that they get.
No, yeah, unfortunately, like, you're correct.
That's the target audience right there, because, you know, your grandmother can barely turn on her phone. She thinks her computer's broken. Well, sure.
Yeah, and then the computer scam thing, they got a friend of mine's mother, and she was telling us a story the other day at work and just how far it got.
Mm-hmm.
And the damage that it did to her computer, and she knew from the start of the call that something was wrong, but there was a little something off
just
on her computer.
A little bit of truth, right.
And she thought she clicked a help button, so it, like, everything kind of triggered.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I did some research on the computer one after I had such a lovely conversation.
Yeah, after being offered a dick
sucking. And some of the stories from that one, they're just spiteful about it. Like, some of them don't even go all the way to getting the money. They just go to getting remote access, and then they just start deleting shit.
Yeah.
And like, they just start, let's wipe out all your pictures.
That and the other one is to gain, obviously, in your emails, would have different account numbers, potentially date of births. All that kind of happy horse shit. I watched 60 Minutes last Sunday. It was another one of those wonderful things where they put people in a room, you know, hackers, and they had the reporter, and the reporter, all they have with the reporter is either one of them just had a phone number and then something else, and, like, it was insane. They sent her a text that literally was a text with no link in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she opened the text on the screen, her phone was snagged. And, like, literally around the table, they're all sitting there, "Well, I have your email, I have this, I have this, I have that." It was insane.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes you just feel so warm and fuzzy
inside. Yes, it does.
And Joe was saying, he doesn't pick up on any number I don't recognize. The only time I really do is if I think it looks like it might be the security company calling.
Yeah.
That's the only time I pick up, because I do not want to pay that $75 for a false alarm.
Nobody wants that.
So that's the only time I pick up. And most of the time I'm like, go to mail. It's probably not a good time for me to talk right now. I'll call you when it is.
Right. Yeah, I go through spurts. Like, sometimes you're just expecting a call, and you kind of roll your eyes every time the phone rings. And go,
what does suck for me is the fact that I get so many phone calls from people who I don't have in my phone, because a new bartender will start working somewhere, and my name is, you know, if there's a computer problem, call Clayton.
They immediately panic?
Oh, no, they do. So I often get phone calls from all over the place, and they're not all from here, because, you know, whatever his name is just moved here from Poughkeepsie, and he's got a cell phone. It's got a Poughkeepsie number, and I'm like, I don't know anybody from Poughkeepsie. So I let it go to voicemail, and then I realized, okay, they left a voicemail. Then I listen. "Oh, this is Johnny. I now work at whatever restaurant, and I can't make the computer print," or whatever, and I call him back.
Well, Poughkeepsie's got a real yokel feel to it.
Well,
I also question the judgment of that bar and their hiring practices. Well,
they wanted a hometown feel.
He came from Central Casting. He was really, he was looking for a different job.
He wanted to play Ernest T. Bass and Andy Griffith, but he's going to be a server at the restaurant.
Good for him.
Yes.
Bless his heart.
Besides eat tacos, which is not a metaphor, did you do anything else on here?
I ate tacos, I worked, I laid on my couch at every opportunity. I feel very much like the Tin Man just now.
Heart dead?
Yeah, heart's dead, creaky joints. All the work is physically caught up with me, so I've done nothing. I've watched several movies.
Good for you.
Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Nothing. I don't think I left my house for a purpose other than work in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'd done doing the days and nights, and then this week, nights, and an opportunity came up to just be on call. I was hoping for the whole night off, but it was just be on call on Thursday night, and I was like, oh, yeah, sign me up.
Right on.
So just kind of laid around and relaxed. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I said, fuck it. Took a Benadryl. I'm like, that's it. I'm not staying up all the way till 7. Because if they call you in at 5, I mean, really, why?
Right.
You have an hour to get there, and then you're going to be there for an hour. Somebody can figure that shit out.
And everybody's already asleep.
So I mean, I took my Benadryl at about 4:30. Woke up just refreshed as can be.
It's very nice.
And then started to went right to hell. Like then the weekend progressed, and they were like, well, can you pick up Monday's night? Because we're shorthanded. I'm like, well, there goes that bonus day off I thought I had. But it was good. So it was fun. It worked and just been trying to very much avoid the Trump at all costs this weekend.
Yeah, I had a speech on at the bar with like closed captioning, hoping that I could like make some sense out of the word salad that was happening, but got nothing.
Basically, he screamed and yelled.
Oh, yes, he did.
Insulted a lot of people. Yeah. And then just enumerated our current plan for immigration.
All right. Yeah, I read some summaries that he said
everything
was,
we're already doing.
The only like he if he would have presented that in a calm tone, it would have been kind of a joke because he just presented our current plan of deporting illegal immigrants, the things that we're doing. But he just he shouted about it, and it was so like demeaning
so
and
angry,
insulting,
I heard, yeah.
And so oh god, it just got worse and worse. And then when he presented his, and then he would enumerate things because it was supposed to be a 10-point plan or a 9-point plan. So every once in a while, he would yell out a number. But
like they were bidding.
But
this
they
is
were
my
not
new
in any
everything.
Order, nor was it a new thing.
I'm writing this down occasionally.
Blurt out numbers.
Just scream numbers.
6!
Yeah.
Just
and that was literally what he did, but I think it was 3.
And another thing, 7.
That in the middle of a sentence, 3 came up. So, and then I watched a couple of movies on my... It was fun to have that night off. I've had a couple Netflix movies that have been gathering dust on my counter since about June, so...
Oh, wow.
We get to update the list a little bit.
Very nice.
Watch some stuff I really didn't... Well, one good, one bad. Not bad. One, like, really?
Meh.
That, again, old people, really?
Oh. I find it odd that anything that has a movie description in your house has any time wasted not watching it.
Well, there's so much on Netflix streaming now,
uh-huh.
Because now I'm hooked on TV shows that I don't get around to the movie for a while.
You still order the movies from What's-Its, right?
Yeah, I get the streaming and I get
the
DVD sent, because there's so much that's not on the streaming. But luckily, there's enough, the original stuff, you know, and you gotta, I don't know, Stranger Things takes up a good 2 straight days of your life.
It sure does. And then every once in a while, you get captured by an old series.
Which is what we'll talk about in... And what's passing as entertainment leader this evening. I don't want to spread myself too thin with the one story I've got to share.
Well, then I'll save my week of shamely television for later, too.
So it's... And then, so I worked until like 7:45 this morning, went home, went to bed, and then forgot I had like one of those, God bless them, the meetings that you can just call a phone line, you don't have to shower, or otherwise I would have never gone.
Call a conference call.
Would you get a conference call? I knew there was a fancy Latin name for it.
Here's my thing about conference calls, though. I think there should be some sort of, like, electroshock component, where every time someone says, they get shocked.
No.
The last time I was on a conference call, I swear to God, one of the speakers, and I'm not the most fluent, you know, fluid speaker in the world, but every time... It was her turn to talk. She would say, "Well, so if you see in the sales report, we and I'm like, first of all, bitch, you're just reading me the email.
Yeah.
Second of all, stop saying I'm gonna slap you on your face.
Yeah. Today's thing was like we sent around a PowerPoint, so we're just gonna review that. Does everybody have it? No. I called into this thing so you could read it to me. If the point was to read the PowerPoint, I would have done that later.
Right.
Not joined you all for
could
a group
you email
reading.
That to me, please? And then all of a sudden, you hear quietly, you can suck my dick.
But it was...
That's what you hear on the conference.
I feel that's, that phrase is going to go all kinds of wrong. So warn the children. Maybe time to put the kids to bed.
There's not enough of that on conference calls,
no.
I'll tell you what. I'm
going
to try that at my next classic call.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
Feel free to try it later tonight in the show. We got plenty of time.
So the good thing about that is this isn't a wake and bake. I got up at 3, laid around, listened to that call when I should have been listening to my very important podcast, Keeping It 1600.
Sure.
But I had to interrupt those fuckers.
Or finding stories for your entertainment section.
That wasn't going to happen.
Oh, my goodness.
Because that requires glasses, and I wasn't going to put them on.
Well, I'm glad I email you guys stuff.
Wait, I can help you with entertainment because I've got a podcast.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good, good,
and
good.
And I've got TV. that's 15 years old?
Oh, I only went back 12 years. I was told there'd be no math.
I don't think I'm
so that. Here we are. I've had some coffee. I showered appropriately. And
look at you.
I know, burped into the microphone and made it here.
Wow, we are really a well-rounded show this evening, aren't we?
It's the kind of things you usually get from a fat
You know, mother. Listener at home, I want to tell you how lucky you are today.
Oh, we got no... Oh, my God!
We have, yeah, please
six,
refresh.
There's six people here.
I thought he was going to say there were no listeners. I was going to die.
No, there's six people on the audio-only stream. I can't... The countless people on the YouTube stream that are watching.
Tens of people.
Four or five... I'm not sure.
Well, last week they thought they were struck blind because
right. Well, this year, this week, unfortunately, you can see us.
I asked about that too. I was like, was there
a big, video? A big technical difficulty? That one's going to hold us for a while.
Yeah, we don't have to do anything. For
really,
a long
one
time.
Per minute.
It's like the Clayton like and the you? Thanksgiving dinner of technicals.
Yeah.
I will tell you again. He's It's very, very painful, but he makes great progress. That masseur, Sergio.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I had a session today, the second, and it was, he's like, well, you're better than you were last week. I'm like, well, you damn near killed me last week. But he is all shades of cute. Holy crap, he's cute.
Yeah, and he's, because I saw him last Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
And he was very charming.
Very funny kid.
And anyway. He asked if it was me that stressed you out like that. I was like, that's inappropriate.
Well, and no, it's
probably.
Not.
Probably.
I'm naked and face down. This is not the time to ask those questions.
No, it's not you, by the way. But anyway, it was a good.
Well, I said that quite clearly. Yeah.
But no, so I saw him again today, and it is insane how much pain you have to go. Yeah, I equate it to losing weight. When you gain weight, it's gradual and it comes on over, you know, maybe the past 16 years. You know, it just gradually it gradually gets there. But getting rid of it, yeah, that's your challenge.
Yeah.
So the stress can come on, and then but you try to work that shit out. It is painful shit. But he's. Ugh.
Yeah, he's very good, and yeah. he is very cute.
Oh, he's adorable. Adorubs.
And a little overly chatty, because all of a sudden we were girlfriends, because he knew this one.
Well, I'm working an angle. She's in school for business, I know, but I don't know what other thing she's doing.
And I'm just desperately trying to fall asleep.
Oh, he did mention that today.
How often I fall asleep?
Well, I asked if, because I was quite vocal, and I told him when we went in, I'm like, you're going to cause me severe pain, and we're going to get really accustomed to the fuck word, because I'm going to say it a lot. And then today I was laughing through the pain because he goes like, what? I'm like, no, I just have to laugh or I'm going to start crying right now. And then I said, does Al usually laugh or cry? He goes, nope, Al's usually asleep. Yeah.
Seriously, it could be
how
like
do you sleep through that?
They touch my neck for 15 seconds and then they wake me up 50 minutes later and they're like, well, bye, sir.
I don't know how you could sleep through that.
It's just cool and lovely. And
it is so intense to me. I mean, I'm guessing you're probably not... You've been going more regularly than I do.
Oh, and I start light and end light. So, you know, that rough part's just for the, like, in that opening 10, 15 minutes. And then we go back to, like, I want to be relaxed. Like, yeah, I want to be stretched. And if I could go commit a crime in, like, Inquisition-era Spain, I would do it just to be put on the rack and stretch because I'm like, oh, God, that looks delightful. Because for me, I'm like, just stretch me. Just, I'll hold this pole, you stand there, and just yank the shit. Well, gently pull.
Sure.
Because that's, I mean, I feel like that's what it is. I feel like gravity is really getting me down.
He, I laughed at him because, you know, he goes through all of the torture, which, again, making progress, my arms all feel much better, everything's not falling asleep and all that. But at the end of it, he does this little thing like he rubs the top of my head or does something, and I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, well, I want some aspect of this to be relaxing for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's not going to do it. He did make a joke about the fact that all of my noises are probably going to bring him more business because people are going to want to know what's going on in that room.
Yeah, he said that too.
Yeah.
He was like, I might get more business out of this. I'm like, well, yeah. If you look like that and people are coming out of here groaning, then everyone's... what's our expression that we're whispering into the microphone?
Suck my dick.
I feel like there was a you can before that. Am I wrong?
Usually, yes.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong. Oh, not I like wrong. That.
Oh, that here's okay. This okay. Passive aggressive bullshit. We're just gonna start with this.
Bring
thing.
It on.
On this conference call that I woke up for.
Yeah.
Twice today, I heard. Well, I don't disagree with you. Then just say you agree with me. You fucking cunt. Thank God the phone was on mute and I had to check after I screamed it at it.
You are not.
But
wrong.
I was like. No, there's a, the phrase you're looking for is you're right,
you're
or
right,
I agree with
I
you.
Agree.
Like,
uh-huh.
What does I don't disagree? What is the point to saying that out loud?
I don't know.
What that really means is
I want to disagree with you desperately.
I think you're a cunt, but...
Right, right.
In this case, I can't form the argument.
Right, in this case, I look like an asshole on the other side of the argument, so we're going to let yours go.
So that is my passive-aggressive nightmare moment. Twice, two different people used it, and I'm like, this is not appropriate.
Like, at you?
One was at me, one was to a general conversation.
Cunty. I don't like conference calls.
I just don't like passive-aggressive.
Come on. Really?
Oh my God, no, I can't. That's you want to see me get angry? I yelled at my poor mother in her last year of her life. What? For her doing the, are you hungry? Are you hungry? A declarative sentence. And she was like,
and then Ruthie died.
And she was like, I didn't raise my kids to talk to me like this. I'm like, yes, you did. You didn't raise us with this passive aggressive bullshit. Like, when did that start? And she just looked at me like, oh, say you're hungry. We'll go get you something to eat. When I'm hungry, I'm going to go get something to eat. That's how this works. When you're hungry, you eat. You don't have to take a poll. We don't need a vote. What are you doing? I was maybe a little angry about being in school at the time.
Maybe there was some other issues you wanted to work out.
I remember what my therapist said.
So I'm going to throw a passive aggressive, would you like to talk?
See, now that's the kind of set that just gets you of things ahead. If I wanted to talk, I'd call you. Or I would answer your phone call. Neither of those things
seems
are going to happen. Yeah.
Two problems, one elegant solution. Oh.
And you'd never guess it as a child, I love talking on the phone. Like, I I spend the phone for hours.
Because we all did, because that was our only mode of communication. Now we have 75 million other modes of communication.
Right, but
less personal.
He was locked in a basement with a turntable, and the phone was like, somebody else. Yeah. I can tell somebody else about Donna Summer.
Oh, no, there was always somebody down there. I was only alone for a year or so.
You flicked yourself on the public. You figured out other ways. Oh, I can call people, other people.
I know.
And then somebody got Alan Tim a phone book, and it was over from there.
Well, we all know what I would have been doing with that cell phone, so we won't talk about that.
Excuse me, Mrs. Wallace? Yeah. Have you heard of Donna Summer? Yeah. I want you to listen to this for a minute.
Let's see. Where did I leave off yesterday? Joan C. Hello.
There's something wrong with your turntable. Are you in front of the turntable?
Side 3 of Bad Girls is really going to change your life. And for just $9.99, you can get it from Columbia House.
Right. Have you heard of our Lord and Savior Giorgio Moroder? Yeah.
Who's actually, there's a big thing coming up in New York. The next, it's called I Feel Love, and it's a mix. They're doing a 2-day, a 48. I'm not sure if it's the whole 48 hours. I don't know if they're going to stop and vacuum at some point, but it is going to go all night. It's a throwback to the 70s clubs. There's all kinds of DJs playing. Giorgio Moroder is going to be there for a big chunk of it. And they're going to do the whole Studio 54 feel.
Oh.
And it is going to stay open all night. I just don't know if from 6 to 3, you can go find your cocaine dealer and re-up your supply.
Right.
But they're going to have artists walking through all kinds of, like a carnival atmosphere. They're going to have models there, people posing, art on display, dancing, DJs. And it's
that
called
sounds expensive.
I Feel Love. And it's supposed to, it's like, the write-up on it is really amazing. So if you Google that and look it up, it's coming up in New York, and everyone's been sending me the links. And, well, of course, it's called I Feel Love, and Giorgio Moroder is like the headliner DJ. And so he's going
to
do...
That would be fun to be there.
There's going to be a 70s feel to it, and I hope they don't remix everything into dun, 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 or whatever the music sounds like now.
Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
That's it.
I think even you're about 5 years behind. But... I know nothing about modern music.
Family Guy.
I don't disagree with
you.
I don't.
Don't you feel a little cuntier when you're saying it?
It's powerful. It's nice.
But I was tired. So I did end one of my points that I made during the conference call with, all right, forget about it. It doesn't even matter. And then I put it on mute, and you could just tell everybody was like, oh, he's just going to turn into a royal bitch. Just let, you know, he hit mute. Leave it be. He's just swearing it, you know.
Right.
Just be happy she's quiet. It's Al Perkins. Val, are you there, Val?
Val.
Val. I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners who is going through a little trial, and I don't know if you guys are friends with him as well on the Facebooks, Anthony Oluak from Nairobi, Kenya.
Yes, friend of Amina's, we met him through Amina.
Okay, because he is going through bless his heart, he's been posting every day about it as he's going through it. He has he's doing a current bout with a little Bell's palsy. And where, you know, kind of, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, it paralyzes half of your face.
My grandfather had that.
And he's going through it right now, and he keeps posting updates about how it feels and what it's, he's going through and all this kind of stuff. It's been kind of interesting to watch his videos that he makes, but he listens, and it's like 6:40 in the morning.
I remember he's made like an appearance in the chat room.
Yeah, he's been in the chat room a couple times.
Right, he doesn't get to listen live very often because I guess he gets off work later, whatever it is, and he's sleeping now. I just messaged him and he's not awake, but I just wanted to, Anthony, if you're out there, we hope you get better soon because we're watching this and I'm glad you're part of this. He has a hashtag on his Facebook. It's hashtag Kenyan Queer Questions. Hashtag Kenyan Queer Questions, and it looks like he hosts. And I totally forgot about that. That he hosts a his own little podcast, I guess, about I'm gonna guess gay stuff from.
I've only ever seen the live.
It says right there, a weekly podcast hosted by Ima Reed and Anthony Olyok. I'm assuming that's Ima Reed. I don't know Ima, unless she's in the chat room under some other name, and I don't know who that is. But
it sounds vaguely like a drag name, but I don't know if I'm...
Right.
Kind of.
When you put Ima in front of it.
What's your name? Anita Mann.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Bell's Palsy is, I understand it's kind of one of those not a whole lot of rhyme or reason things.
Just random.
It shows up, and then it goes away.
Yeah. I had a couple friends that were like that many, many years ago, but I don't know... Oh, there's Amina. She's talking right there. But it looks like he's getting better, according to what Amina says in the chat room. I know that's cool.
I, unfortunately, at one point, had a computer science professor who was originally from China, who had a very thick accent and then developed Bell's palsy, the first 2 weeks of the semester, so no one could understand the man.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It was unfortunate. I still passed the class.
I enjoy telling the story of my Spanish 201 teacher, where we got to conversational Spanish, like now you're like having to like read things in Spanish, write little essays in Spanish, you're up to that level.
Okay.
My Spanish professor, Lord love a duck, was Chinese of the China. Sure. Okay. If I'm pronouncing that correctly.
So it was an ESL for him.
May have learned Latin as the second language and Spanish as her third language. And English was her fourth. Many, many things got filtered out by number four. Going back and forth from languages three and four just got to be a game of charades that quickly devolved into almost ethnic jokes because of how we were trying to imitate what she was saying to see if we could get another accent on there. And it really often bordered on we should be in some kind of a session discussing what we were saying to this Chinese woman who was lovely. But you would try to say it back to her and take one of the accents out, and it would go so wrong.
Pass that class, did you?
I did. And let me tell you how.
Had to think about it.
It's because the essay at the end was about the movie, I think it's called Victory, and it's about the soccer team in Pele, or a prison soccer team. I can't remember now. I had seen the movie and knew enough about what I was reading that I knew that they were talking about a movie I had seen.
Oh.
So even though I couldn't read most of the sentences, I had seen the movie, so I could spit back an answer in my Spanish vocabulary and discuss the movie and just hoped I hit the points of the question that I did not understand.
Oh
yeah, it's real, real solid.
You probably
B+ there.
Baffled the shit out of her.
Well, I may have described a scene in some detail because it contained all the words I knew how to use. Football.
Ooh, football.
But it was always so funny.
Pele.
And it was one of those things where you spent the whole class listening to Spanish conversations and you had to like transcribe stuff.
Sure.
I don't know what that was, if that was 201 or 301 or 19 years later.
Yeah.
601, half dozen the other. Who cares?
I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
I've written that down. That may be the title of tonight's show. I don't.
That's giving me great joy right now.
And it's going to be followed with, you can suck my dick.
Parenthetically, you can suck my dick.
We now have an official drinking volley.
How it will go back and forth.
Can.
We have a drinking conversation to make up for a severe lack of content. We'll just say these two phrases back and forth till everyone's fucked up.
Till everyone's
and then we'll turn
out
the power
difference.
And go home. Yeah.
Right.
This sounds like a solid plan.
Oh, for love and peace.
Now, Cryptor, I don't think we have down where you're from. You're not on my list. You're not on my very carefully written
I'm going to assume Cryptor may be the same age as me, if the 1969 if it's just a happenstance number, or if that's the year you might have been birthed.
Yes, because Clayton McKee's birthday is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Is soon. Oh, yeah. Some of you are currently celebrating it.
Yeah. Oh. Happy birthday to me tomorrow, where you are.
Yeah.
Or, and when, if we're listening to this tomorrow, because if it's not live.
Amina, is Clayton having a lovely birthday there?
I'm sure I am. Tell me what I got.
Yeah.
Blow out that candle.
Scorching case of crabs. I don't disagree with you.
You can suck my dick.
It's even funnier when you say it, young man.
Yeah. Why, thank you.
Northern Michigan. All right. Mm.
Northern or further South Dakota. Whichever one you like.
We enjoy knowing how you self-identify, but you don't have to share. That can remain a secret.
Sure. We don't care.
We won't disagree with you.
Oh.
Yeah, I did. I had to move on to somebody else's grapes.
Right.
I was just thinking that wasn't going to be funny for a while, but I think it's going to be funny for a while.
No.
A good time.
For the next 2.5 hours.
We can stretch that out.
Probably
It just occurred to me that I should have been sitting here putting together some headlines, but...
No. This has been too much fun. Bullshitting our way through this. I happen to have 5 stories with pictures, by the way, that we're going to go through.
That's lovely.
I have 2.
That's all right. What, for headlines?
Yeah.
Oh, so you don't have anything for your segment, but you're going to bleed over.
I'm actually multitasking. I put together a little bit more of an entertainment section, and I got 2 headlines.
Oh, golly. The cup runneth over for Ms. Perkins today.
She's working on grapes and coffee. I'm busy being
entertainment over here.
Okay. Well, I did send you 1 story.
I see that. I'm going to bring that up.
Okay, you should. Yeah. That's good. I like that you're as timely as today's headlines.
I'm just going to silently contemplate it for 3 hours of stimulating podcastery.
Oh, podcastery. Oh, hi, Don Don from North Carolina.
Don Don, that's a firm and fast no.
Nope. I do disagree with you. there will be no partial nudity on this show, really, ever.
You know what? I tell people all the time, this is as naked as you're ever going to see me.
Yeah.
When I go in the pool, it's a very similar outfit. It's just a little bit more water-friendly.
I think it's a bathing costume at that point.
A burka?
It's still shorts and a t-shirt.
Bathing costume. We're gonna go with it.
My shorts costume. Just happen to be made of like bathing suit material and they're actually a lovely rainbow. They start red.
I mean, I don't disagree with you. You are describing your own clothes.
Harrison, I don't know what you're talking about. What's freezing up? Is it what you're seeing or what we're broadcasting? 9 out of 10, it's going to be what you're seeing.
Ruh-roh.
Because I don't think I'm going out of here, it's bad, because it's looking good on the feeds.
On the feeds.
In fact, I'm going to I'm looking at it right here. It's a beautiful picture. Al's talking in this scene.
Well, that's strange.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
It's very weird. It's very odd to like get it
must be
that
an
exact
old
moment.
Show.
When Kat got here and I said Marnie had called out, she says, "Well, I'll just talk more."
Yeah. It's good to have a backup plan.
Sure, it is. Absolutely. Oh.
No, there's no burkinis. Listen, I still look like the same handsome young man you're used to seeing.
Maybe confused with Justin Bieber.
Surrounded by water.
Ah.
There's often still a hat.
A chapeau.
I'm not kidding. In fact, at the bar, they were doing some like beach themed something, and so Jeffrey sends out a message and says, "Hey, everybody dress and wear beach wear." So I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
What, cargo shorts and
pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Swim trunks and a swim cover up shirt. You know, okay. The sun. I looked kind of like I was getting ready to go boogie boarding.
Oh.
But whatevs.
Okay.
That's a thing.
I've seen it done on TV.
People do that.
I have heard about it.
Many people.
I read earlier down in the chat room, I missed it. Joe D had asked if what I was doing to celebrate my birthday. You're watching it.
No, you do a show on Wednesdays, don't you?
Yeah, but this is pretty much the peak of the peak of it all.
Oh.
I mean, isn't that great? I spent it with you fine people.
Now we just feel bad.
47 doesn't matter. 50 is going to matter.
We'll get you a number for a therapist.
You know, I'm going to tell my therapist.
I'm gonna say I know a nice computer.
I'm just calling about that conversation we had last week about that money. You know that kind of stuff. Oh, what a bunch of horse shit. Well, let's see if we can make magic happen. Al seems to think he's got a couple things to talk about, and I think we should, because it's our night, and we can do these things. Where the hell is my little hickey do? Alphabetical, sounds like... Oh, this one. We'll do this and see if it works. We'll try this. Headline stuff on a Tuesday. I'm going to be doing this almost alone, except Al said he's got a couple here. Here we go on a Tuesday night. Get ready. A neighbor bulldozes man's house after dispute.
Rio 2016 Olympics has its weirdest story.
Bacon-filled trailer burns to the ground.
Another creepy clown incident reported in Ohio.
School boards find out that a hairdresser is gay.
I'm reading an article that Clayton sent me.
Bigoted sore loser. And a Mississippi man immune from being arrested. All these stimulating stories coming up right now on Q Talk America. Oh, that's lovely. I'm reading a story that Clayton sent me.
That is a headline. And in breaking really news, I'm reading a story.
Yes, there's that.
I'm betting it as we speak.
Well, a dispute between neighbors led one man to take heavy machinery to his neighbor's home and completely destroy it, according to Tipton County Sheriff's Department. The incident happened on Sunday on the 700 block of Grimes Road in Drummond, Tennessee. Deputies started receiving calls from that area on Friday regarding a neighbor that fired multiple shots into the woods. Deputies talked to the neighbor, John Higdon, who's 48 years old, who said there were multiple people hiding in and running from the woods that were wearing ghillie suits. Whatever the hell ghillie suits? G-H-I-L-L-I-E?
Ghillie suits are, they're a head-to-toe camouflage cover that
for hunting?
Hunters will wear to completely blend in with their sceneries.
Oh. Yeah. Anyway, so
are you wearing one now?
Can you see me?
My life.
Well, he told deputies that he fired shots into the woods at the people wearing these camouflage suits. Well, if I would have had time to read further down, the description of a ghillie suit is this.
You know, I tell my kid all the time, reading comprehension is all about context. Read the sentence before and the sentence after.
Contextual clues.
You two show up here without reading anything. Don't give me shit. I have five stories here.
And yet, look how delightful and charming.
But the funny thing is that the line that it says about the suit...
is the next line.
No, is almost exactly what she said. A ghillie suit is a type of camouflage clothing that is made to blend in with the background environment, such as trees, sand, or snow.
Because when the editor read that, he was like, what the fuck is a ghillie suit?
Whoever wrote this can suck my dick!
You know, I have an uncle that we used to call Rambo. Because he was like a weekend warrior. He was a Army Reserve kind of a guy.
Slightly crazy.
Right, a little bit.
Yeah.
And he wanted like this side business of making ghillie suits. So there was like a year of my life where I would get dropped off at his house after school.
Oh.
And he would pay me like $5 an hour to like brush out burlap and do all this kind of shit to try and...
brush out.
It's a whole thing. Yeah, okay. To try and make these ghillie suits.
That's what these are. This is burlap. That's what our sound things are.
Yeah, now, so if I took a wire brush to it...
Okay.
And I brushed it out, it would get all stringy and fluffy, and it would look like shrubbery.
Shrubbery?
This week in interior landscaping, you can suck my dick.
Cat shows us how to make shrubbery.
I don't disagree with you.
After deputies left, a second complaint was filed regarding shots being fired. Once again, deputies returned and arrested Higdon for reckless endangerment. Now, the incident followed early reports in the week from Higdon, who told deputies that approximately five people were shining lights into his residence, and he believed that it was his neighbor's employees doing this. Now, the next day, after Higdon had been arrested, a neighbor called the sheriff's office and said that they could see and hear a large piece of construction equipment bulldozing down the neighbor's home. Deputies went to the area and found Higdon's home had been destroyed, as we cut to a picture of Higdon's home. There's one picture. I don't think
it
that looks
look safe.
Completely intact. Oh, but this other angle is a little more menacing. There's that one. Yeah, tore it up. Detectives found an orange backhoe at the neighbor's house. The neighbor, 57-year-old Edgar Dallas McClellan, was arrested for aggravated criminal trespassing and felony vandalism. Got him on two things. Sammy Higdon and John Higdon's brother said he doesn't know why McClellan would want to do something like this to his brother. He said the two were not in a feud, contrary to what deputies had said.
Well, we may be watching the commencement of the feud, if I'm...
So wait, Edgar was mad about the ghillie suits, and so he tore down half of this guy's house?
What is the same story? That was going to be my follow-up question. Because that took an ugly turn from describing camouflage to I was going to take a backhoe to your house.
Now, let me tell you how this wraps up here. Now, Mr. Higdon is now forced to live in a camper next door his home once stood. It's the end result of a feud Tipton County investigators said got a little bit out of control. This, quote to quote, Mr. Higdon, this man over here decides to come over here at 2 in the morning with a bulldozer and tractor and starts pushing his house down, Sammy said.
Because he tried huffing and puffing, and that didn't work.
Exactly.
He run the tractor through
both. Step one, huh?
He run the tractor through both bedrooms where the bed sits. I still don't know what to believe. Well, believe your house is gone, sir. Both.
I like that it's vandalism. A vandalism would be painting a picture of a broken down house. No. And this, even I can't ask for criminal mischief in this one. It's gone too far.
Both men are now free on bond and are awaiting their court date in the Tipton County General Sessions Court. Detectives are continuing to investigate, and according to Sheriff J.T. Poncho Chumley,
oh Jesus Christ,
they're expecting additional charges to be filed.
Listen, Barney,
is the poncho in quotation marks?
It is.
Thank God.
It's J period T period Poncho Chumley.
That indicates that it's a nickname and not a given
name. And actually, that sounds like a cartoon character name.
No, it sounds like Poncho from... isn't that from Chips?
No, that was John Poncharella.
Poncho, didn't they? They called
him Ponch. It was Ponch and John.
Oh, okay. So this man added
Poncho was more of a front and back cape.
Yes.
From the fashion department this evening.
And is there anything funnier than the first episode of Ugly Betty when she wears that fucking poncho to work? Even I wanted to pick on her a little bit.
Oh, I'm going to have to add that to my old irrelevant TV to start watching.
Yeah, but it's beautiful because
I was just going to say that.
All the money in that whole thing was Vanessa Williams' salary and the fucking HD.
The HD TV. That was that first year of HD TV where you would just stare at your TV and be like, God, it's so pretty. Like you were on an acid trip. Sometimes it felt like you're on an acid trip.
It was silly.
Yeah, sometimes. I definitely remember that, but Ugly Betty was never on.
It was never on my radar either. I caught it a few times with him, but he literally forced me to sit down once in his living room. He was just, look how beautiful this is.
Yeah.
And he just sat at the end of his table and he just looked at his TV like he was in the room.
No, I remember that fascination because I similarly bought an HD TV for the first time about that same time when Netflix started streaming, when HD was a thing on TV. And I would tell people to come over to my house and be like, hey, can you come over tonight? Yeah, sure. What do you need? Oh, just come over. We'll talk about it when you get here.
It was Jeopardy, the brilliant blue of the Jeopardy screen. Lost,
Target commercials.
Pushing Daisy. The Target Pushing Daisies was so beautiful. And then eventually Hannibal, that you were just like, I know it's a crime scene, but I would like it as art on my wall.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I went a little more educational. I would bring up the National Geographic HD videos on
Earth.
Netflix.
If you haven't spent the time with not Richard Attenborough, his brother, whichever one's in Jurassic Park, it's his brother, and it's the BBC documentary Earth from Discovery Channel.
I have it on Blu-ray.
That they did it, and I tell people all the time with Blu-ray players and high def, it is your go-to first thing to watch. The polar bears, the ice caps, the mountain ranges. It's just spectacular filming captured in a way that I don't think I'd ever seen any nature documentary done. And it's just breathtaking. And I still pop that in once in a while.
It's beautiful just to have on as a background,
And
my dentist has it. And the way my dentist's office is, when you're laying back in the chair, they have a screen in the ceiling, a flat screen.
Oh yeah,
and they just have scenery stuff like that, and it's got to be like the Earth video because it's all beautiful shots of streams babbling and polar bears and whatnot.
And I think they're right. I think it's David Attenborough does the thing, and it's just so and just his way of he has just that charming way with that English accent, and well, there's a whole thing about birds and fortune favors the bold. You know what I mean? He just gives you all this droll Englishman shit.
Not to be confused with the video about the honey badger. Very different. not narrated nearly as eloquently.
No,
because he don't give a shit. Honey badger don't care.
He doesn't care.
Al, there was a question asked of you. Desperate Housewives 2000. Is that an HD?
Oh yeah, yes. That was from that same. I think 2004 was the year that all those shows kind of started, and that's when HDTV and ABC made the investment because they were scraping the bottom of the barrel anyway, so we might as well try
something. Might as well spend the rest of the money
on it. So they went HD, and they went hard into HD. And they really did ruin TV for the rest, like, the rest of the world.
Everybody else is looking
like
shit.
Then you go to somebody else's house, and you'd be like, your people on your TV don't have eyes.
You can't even touch them. Because at one point, Al thought he was actually on the set.
Oh,
like,
no.
With them.
Modern Family was the one. That's there fancy. Was an episode where they were getting their photographs all done in white, and the whites are so crisp.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, it looked like Julie Bowen had walked into my living room. I was like, oh!
That would have been
not
fun,
an
though.
Unpleasant experience.
No, that would be fine.
I wasn't going to try to suck my dick or anything.
I do not disagree with her. Would you like to take one of your stories and run up the flagpole?
It's a short story, but now this happened before the Olympics started.
Oh, my God.
This is from the trials.
So it's almost like a flashback.
And we were out of town.
I enjoyed that. It's a dream sequence, if you will.
So just as they were doing the trials, and some of them were actually held in Olympia Stadium, but an Olympic kayaker may have capsized at the Rio Games after bumping an underwater sofa. He ran into because they hadn't finished the total cleanup, right. So that kayak stream, one of the teams capsized, and as he capsized, they couldn't see what he hit. They thought it was some kind of an unfortunate accident. And I didn't have time to send this to you, but
so
I've been sitting on this story for a while. It floated to the top. He unearthed it.
It dislodged it from where it was being.
Wow. I have not heard that one.
So, the picture's not in here, but there is a really, let me see if I can find this, if I can send you this picture. Just fucking nuts. But just the fact, and I saw it on the TV, and I completely forgot about it.
I'm ready to receive your picture, sir.
All right, here we go.
Oh, there's another breaking news story on the Facebooks. I'll have to get to here in a minute. It's about a naked man.
What?
Yeah.
So that was that one. It would have been more timely at the time, but we were on vacation.
It's still funny.
Yeah.
We're into it.
So there's some funny memes. They had all the Twitter stuff.
Wait a minute.
Now, the story is real, but this picture is just a funny.
I think you have. I think it's funny. Oh, I can't save it. I have to save it here. Hang on a minute. Oh, this is a funny thing.
And then we'll click it over here.
Well, I have to. Well, yeah, but.
Like, okay, so I'll read some of the other tweets that went out. Is it too late to add kayak sofa to the list of newly approved sports? Given ticket prices, I think kayak sofa was. Oh, fuck. No, I clicked on the whole guy's link. Damn it. Anyways, they were funny. Where is it? It was just a misguided attempt at better seats. Kayaker hits an underwater sofa. Me. Oh, underwater sofa. That must be one of those terms from sports I don't understand. And then some Warren K. Nice of the Brazilians to put a rest stop in the middle of a race.
Sometimes you get tired.
Sometimes.
Need a little nap.
And then one of the first ones that came out from the news story was Mark Siebert wrote, please be true, please be true, please be true.
So the picture Al sent me is this. So it starts out, it's this. So if you look at, here's a little thing. But you zoom out from the picture, and it's the couch and a pile of a bunch of other shit that's in the bottom of the ocean over there in Rio.
And it was just one of those crazy stories when, like, and it's so good that they went out without a hitch. And I know we talked about that, but I still am kind of amazed by that.
Oh, overall, it went off without a hitch.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, except for an American douchebag, like, that went off very safely. You know,
yeah.
It only displaced poor people and demolished their economy.
But that's every 4 years.
Whatever.
we're like 20 years too late to be offended by the shit that goes on every time.
Fucking poor people, just in the way.
Wow. Okay, wasn't expecting that from Ms. Carlson, but there we are.
And they said when they moved him, you can suck my dick.
Suck it. Now, based on what I know of people from Rio, I might have taken a few up on that offer. Did you have a story you want to talk to us about, Kat? Or did you want us to go back and you come later? I don't care. We have time.
Frequent users of the internet may see on their newspaper feeds, or their newspaper feeds. No, their Facebook news feeds.
Would you like to start again? Would you like to just start over?
No. I'm just going to power through.
Use your words, honey.
In any event, you may see someone outraged at the Wall Street Journal and their apparently conflicting headlines about Trump.
Can you give us an example of what outrage might look like or sound like?
Oh my God, please boycott the Wall Street Journal immediately. They're being unfair and they're distributing different issues to different markets and they're helping Trump. They're on Trump's side.
That wasn't exactly what I was thinking of, but go ahead. Continue on.
What, Clayton McKee?
No, I just...
To you, would you just please outrage, illustrate?
Just, you know, stupid newspaper doesn't know what they're doing. You know, just, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, that kind of thing. That's what I was wanting.
Best outrage ever.
We're going to need you more of like a 3.
you're at a 7 right now.
The lights are bright enough. If we can't tone those down, we're going to need to tone you down.
Going to need a special locker for the hat. All right, continue
in
on.
In any event, just a few short days ago, on September the 1st, mm-hmm. year of our Lord, 2016, a photograph purportedly showing two editions of the Wall Street Journal side by each.
Side by each.
With markedly different front page headlines regarding Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's stance on immigration was circulated on social media. With probably more Clayton McKee-like outrage than Kat Carlson outrage. Because Kat Carlson outrage is very quiet, apparently. The two headlines, the Wall Street Journal, and you can see they've got the two... Hang on, paper side by each.
I'll have it here.
Oh, you're going to have it right there. That'll be handy.
Gay seconds. And there it is. Right there.
Fancy. So you can see on the left here, it says, Trump softens his tone, as we all kind of expected him to after he had gone to Mexico and had just kind of stood there.
Right.
And then on the right, it says, Trump talks tough on wall. I know. And you think,
conundrum.
What do I think?
What kind of games is the Wall Street Journal trying to play with us? Well, the kind of games are they just changed their mind and decided to revise the story as the story developed. Large circulating newspapers, and this is from Snopes that you sent me, large circulating newspapers will change their edition throughout the day.
A morning edition and an evening edition.
Sure. So Snopes says that this claim that they distributed to different markets is mostly false. They did issue the two different editions with the headline change and probably a substantial story change as well.
Because they went with what had been presented to them for 9 to 10 days about what was coming. So like a biography of someone that dies, you have it ready. They probably pre-prepared the headline expecting it to happen, and then Mein Kampf started, or however it translates from its original German. And it just went wrong. But they do that like award show nights. Like if you get the early edition, or if you're on the East Coast, theirs comes out 3 hours earlier than ours, and it has to be ready at 5 a.m. So something just haven't happened yet.
Right.
And then they'll have an afternoon or an evening. So things get modified, and who was going to be brave enough to make it through that whole speech?
Yep. Oh. And that's exactly what happened. The edition on the left was published after Trump met with the Mexican president early in the day. And, of course, referenced a seemingly cooperative tone of their discussion. And the edition on the right was published after Trump delivered a speech on immigration later in the day here in the Valley of the Sun. And the headline on the right referenced Trump's reasserting his stance that he would force Mexico to pay for building the wall, other things.
Luckily, my sister just texted me, and I heard it go off in there. So it was in the bottom of my purse.
JCPenney's.
And there it is.
Got it.
Yeah, it is sometimes hard for people to understand, unless you're like super nerd and watch documentaries about going to press or at one time in the morning, and then like the USA Today is a national paper, so it comes out like 3 different times a day with revised things. Like most live coverages, like the Super Bowl, they don't know who the winner is when they put the paper to bed, depending on like what part of the country. So sometimes it'll say Dolphins had an early lead, not that they've been in the Super Bowl recently, but you know what I mean?
Right, just pick a team.
And you have to wait to find out because it's newspaper, or go online. It's kind of one of the problems with the early morning paper is they can't update you. Can't update that piece of paper.
But the thing that you can do as the consumer is when you're reading the outrageous thing.
These are people
on
that are making camo appropriate for shopping.
Listen.
She helped. One point.
At one point, I thought that was going to be my industry. That was going to be my vocation in life.
I'm so glad you stepped up.
I was very near to being a high school dropout at the time. I thought vocation is the way for me to go.
I still believe. I mean, not just for you, but for everyone. Vocation
but
is the way to go.
Right.
That's why I became a nurse. It's a vocation.
I would like to say that's why I became a bartender, but I really just fell into it and then decided that I liked it. And,
we all did.
Well, another thing that's different with newspapers now that wasn't that way, and I don't know exactly how far back technology I'd have to go for this, but literally, like USA Today is a national paper. It is produced all over. It's all hodgepodge together, but now they have the technology that it's all shot out everywhere, and then they print it locally, so it can all come out in the morning, as opposed to, well, used to be, like, Wall Street Journal was only published back there, and that's the only way you could get it, and they would fly it out to different places.
But your local paper has always had access to that national thing. They call that the AP.
Yeah.
They call that the Associated Press. Your local paper has always had access to that, you know, fairly up-to-date national story.
Right. No, but what I'm saying is, I get that for a local story, for the local paper. I'm saying for the more of the national stuff now, they can print it and it all goes out in the same shot. But now they have the technology where they can literally revise it on the fly like that. Used to be, years ago, you couldn't do that. Like you said, they would have two different presses, one morning, one evening. But now I think with technology, it's helped them a lot more with being
able to... and like, we know that, people know that, but then there's the people that are just reading the thing and being like, oh my God, it's a conspiracy. The Wall Street Journal has two different pictures.
People have bulldozed houses in Tennessee.
Two things. One, if you suspect a conspiracy, two, check. open a new tab on your browser and just type in whatever you think the conspiracy is and read the top three entries.
Oh.
That's rule of thumb. Whatever you think the conspiracy is, if I were to open a new tab and type in Wall Street Journal, two headlines, see what it says.
This is exciting.
We're vetting a story live.
Very exciting. Wall Street Journal, two headlines. I'm going to get the Snopes article I just read.
Okay.
I'm going to get a response from the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, a response.
Yep.
As timely as today's headlines.
Yeah. And then I'm going to get... Then I just get directed to the Wall Street Journal. But if, you know, if I just read the top two, I've got Snopes, which debunks the thing, and then I've got an answer from the Wall Street Journal. I probably have a lot more information than the post that I read from my Uncle Idiot Johnny.
But the poorly educated saw Wall Street Journal and thought, ooh, liberal media, without knowing, A, Wall Street Journal is very conservative.
Right.
And B, the media is not out to get you.
No.
Like, settle the fuck down.
They don't know you. They don't want to know you. They don't care about you.
There's a great brouhaha brewing in the chat room about the Paralympics, and
reading that
they start
tomorrow
or
today, depending on where you are.
I thought I had missed them. I thought there should be some coverage somewhere.
I saw some pictures today for rehearsals for time trials and different things. I saw some pictures that were online earlier about all that. But there's that.
That's all I got.
This story made me think of you, Al. I know it may bring a tear to your eye, but I figure we'll get through it together. A tractor trailer carrying bacon caught fire and burned on Interstate 68 in Western Maryland on Monday. This would be yesterday.
I bet it smelled delicious.
It shut down eastbound traffic for 6 hours, according to Cumberland, Maryland Fire Department Captain Steve Grogg. Now, I have a picture of the truck. Where'd it go? It's this one. It's just heartbreaking. I mean, you can't really tell. It's just a truck. It's on fire. It says, quote, "We'd rather have something like this than hazardous material on fire. Tanker truck supplied the water and eventually doused the blaze. There were no injuries."
That's good.
The truck came to a stop and burned
the bacon.
Right, well.
No, it's almost
good,
done.
Good, crispy. Almost done, right. The truck came
to
a stop.
The way I like bacon based on this picture, we're nearly there, Mrs. Garrett.
It's almost done, Mrs. Garrett. The truck came to a stop and burned just yards past an interstate exit. Westbound interstate traffic was stopped for a short period during the early firefight. The local police department said the Maryland State Police dealt with the detours and probably loaded up trunkfuls of bacon and took it home. A dispatcher in the area's Allegheny County 911 Center said he stepped outside late Monday and could smell bacon burning from the office.
That's like heaven. In Divine Providence, a Wonder Bread truck and a delivery of Miracle Whip soon were on site.
There was a Wonder Bread truck. A tomato truck went by. It was great.
Because I'm just telling you, if you tell me we were going to have Wonder Bread with Miracle Whip and some burned bacon on it, I'd be like, all right.
Oh, apparently this is
bring me a tomato and I'm in.
Apparently this is an ongoing issue. All right. They're all on Interstate 68, and they're all eastbound coming down a mountain. The brakes get hot on the truck and catch on fire. They've had three other truck fires in the past couple weeks.
Coming in hot with the bacon. Coming in hot with the bacon.
Hot. That's
a day you wish you had a CB. That right there.
While no other drivers or vehicles were affected by the fire, Grog said a portion of the fire hose
coming in hot.
Was
I got
damaged.
A basket full of oinkers. They're sizzling.
A portion of the fire hose was damaged. Because it got hit by hot bacon grease and burned it.
Do not put out this fire in the nude. It's uncomfortable for everyone.
It's a good idea. It's a very good idea. Take out the...
And they're sizzling.
I just think of all the dogs in the area that were going... Megan, 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 assault, Megan.
It's not nice to talk about me like I'm not here.
It's a bitchy dog.
Drink your juice, Shelby.
Amina says that the truck stalled on a Kenyan road and had food in it, not a single scrap of bacon would have been burned.
You got through that quick?
Same through my house, too. Like, free bacon! Oh, it was Bacon Day. I forgot to tell you about my Bacon Day celebration.
Oh, tell me.
Which at the snooze...
Tell me. Listen to the interest. Oh, do tell me.
Here, let me just close this.
Yeah, can we all just look at Al for a minute?
Tell me about your holiday. So, Snooze and Eatery
I did see a post about that.
Yeah, they had Bacon Day, and it was not all it was cracked up to be. It turns out it was, supporting people that grew pigs or fed pigs or, I don't know, money went somewhere.
They've done this before with pancakes, and I remember being slightly disappointed.
Pancakes are grown somewhere?
Yes. But, yes, yeah. Yes. But what they did was they had a bacon-infused Bloody Mary with bourbon that was tasty.
All right.
And they did, but they just added, they had a couple of menu items that
as
had
bacon
in them.
As long as they didn't use that god-awful bacon vodka.
No.
No.
No, it was bourbon. It was, and they have a pancake of the day there that's they're famous for, and they're usually just god-awful sweet. It's just diabetes on a plate.
It's really just sugar. It's confectioner sugar.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you just send away the syrup because you honestly say, no, that's too far.
Syrup is too much in this instance.
That's where we've gone too far.
Now that you've put sweet potatoes and pumpkin pie filling and cream cheese.
Strawberries.
And candied walnuts.
Yeah, it's the pancake of the day. They're insane.
Wow, that's a lot.
This one was like an apple cake with bacon baked into it, and it was very savory. It had a lot of like savory sweet elements, and it was my favorite pancake of the day ever there. So they're all over. They're in Colorado. They're in California, and they're here in Arizona, and they... Snooze an eatery or a breakfast eatery. It's really tasty. But Bacon Day was funny because I had jokingly the last time I was there put it in my phone and set an alarm. And then when I got to work, because I had to go off like 12 hours later, and the alarm went off, and I'm like, Bacon Day! And I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go to breakfast. So we made a big deal that they're like, what is Bacon Day? I'm like, I don't know, but I put it in my phone and the alarm went off. So we gotta round up the troops.
Right. It was calendar worthy. We gotta go.
So it's a fun way to surprise yourself, to put something random into your computer and then put like a 12-hour alert in. Like,
it's very fun.
You have anticipation for that whole 12 hours that you're working. Oh my God, when I get done for work, I'm gonna get bacon!
Bacon!
That's what it's called, an AM eatery. I knew it had something, but the word eatery is in there, and that struck me as
sure
delightful. Whose turn is it?
Amina, I would like... was it Amina that said that? Yes. Annette, just move to America. No steak or bacon. Isn't my life sad, Annette posted in there.
I was not aware of the bacon conundrum.
Move here.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure that his belief system would change if he moved here.
Isn't my life sad? I think there's a want and a need.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there a spiritual element, too? You don't know.
I give a shit.
I was not aware of the bacon part of that. I thought it was just
cows.
Steak, I could... If you told me I had to go with that steak, we could work it out.
Yeah, but when you get to hamburgers, I'm out.
I agree.
Like, I could probably do without steak, but if you said I could never have a cheeseburger again in my life,
cheeseburgers is becoming a real fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Real honest needs.
Because now we get old, we don't care about our figures as much.
No, I never really liked them before.
Oh, I see.
And so now all of a sudden I'm like, that's
now it's a thing. You're like, oh my God, cheeseburger. In-N-Out Burger is my new best friend.
Very few countries outside of the developed world keep pigs. Thanks, Amina.
Interesting.
Oh, I honestly did not know that.
Apparently, spirituality is not a concern.
Not his thing.
Thank you.
That's fair. Okay. I didn't know. I was trying to be respectful.
Nero, thank you for that happy birthday wish. Thank you. That's kind of you.
So another creepy clown incident reported in Ohio. Now there have been some creepy clowns.
Is this the one in the woods?
The one in the woods is in South Carolina, and they can't, the worst part about that is they can't disagree with the kids that are saying they're there because they can't really, they went to the house where they think the clouds are.
So I do disagree with you or I don't disagree with you?
I don't know.
That's what they say to the kids, because I don't disagree with you.
I don't disagree with you. But they can't disprove the story that the kids in South Carolina are telling about the clowns that are like right on the outside of the woods and luring them in, and now a couple parents have seen these clowns.
Oh, okay.
And there may or may not be, it's like Bigfoot, there may or may not be a photograph of one of the clowns taken from like an upstairs window. like if someone approaches, the clowns kind of disappear. It's very creepy.
But it is very. What is the name of this town again?
It's in South Carolina. There. The creepy clown story.
I just crossed South Carolina off of my list of places to ever go.
That is the way to go.
Yeah, so, I just wrote it down and crossed it out.
Columbus, Ohio. A 14-year-old boy heading to a school bus stop Tuesday morning told police he was chased by a black clad. I'm sorry. He was chased by a black clad man armed with a knife and wearing a clown mask. The victim was able to get away from him by throwing a rock at him.
Smart.
Police are now canvassing the area in search of the suspect and keeping a close eye on the bus stop where the incident occurred. We don't know whether this was a prank or not, but we're taking it seriously.
Well, I don't think if you're chasing someone with a knife, I think prank is out.
Yeah, because it's not a good... Then you don't understand how pranks work.
Right.
The alleged attack on the teenager came as police down in South Carolina were investigating multiple reports of menacing clowns allegedly trying to lure children to an abandoned house in the woods. This local police officer says they're aware of the South Carolina story, but they're investigating locally at first. Residents of the North Columbus town neighborhood said they were rattled by the reported clown attack. And there's just something strange going on. And the thing about the South Carolina story is that a couple of the kids said they were lured in to this house where there were people staying, and the police found the house. There really was
a house.
Parts of the story did prove true, except for the house was abandoned and didn't look like there had been anybody in it, let alone, you know, a band of marauding clowns setting up shop. So it was really strange as to whether it's true or not, and whether or not that picture that they have is real, because it's very Bigfoot-esque. It's taken taken from a distance. So there's just something really creepy about this, and I did, like, is this our new thing? Like, are we as a nation now, like, have some kind of creepy clown?
Or is it just a little bit of promotion gone terribly wrong for the new Pennywise movie, or for the new...
For it. But that's... Yeah, I mean, I never thought about that. That does kind of play into it. Is it the right area?
What city?
No, anything Stephen King either takes place in Maine or in Colorado. You only get two choices.
Okay, well, I don't know, because I've never read any.
And if your story starts off somewhere else, then you're on your way to Maine or Colorado. Yeah, Anger, Maine, Boulder, Colorado.
That's true.
Got it.
I don't disagree with you.
You can suck my dick.
Don't disagree with you.
Officious little prick. That's the opening three words of The Shining, in case you wanted that trivia.
I didn't know.
Oh, thank you.
So that's it. So this clown thing, and it's getting kind of disturbing. And now this one has a knife, but they're luring the South Carolina ones. It's luring with money. It's luring with candy. And the fact that abandoned house was where the kids had described it made it even weird, more strange, I thought. Plus, we've all just watched Stranger Things, so we're all just a little bit on edge about rural communities and children with no front teeth.
That's always frightening.
Oh, have you not watched Stranger Things?
I haven't yet.
No. Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh.
So that's it. So that's another creepy clown story.
I don't appreciate the crown floors.
Into the woods and off they
freaky.
Go.
Freaky! Cat? Yes,
I had one. No.
Okay, never mind. Nero, I'd like to thank you not only for the birthday wishes, but for the link you sent me to the Michigan State University study entitled Good Sex May Threaten Older Men's Heart Health. Thank you very much for that. I'll read that sometime in the future when I'm old.
I didn't really want to be worried about that, but now I am.
But it does say good sex. So I guess if you're having just horrible sex.
Crisis avoided.
On your own or with somebody else, I guess you're fine. You're just as healthy.
Nero doesn't want you to die. I think it's touching.
That is kind.
I think it's kind.
Some people are kind like that. Speaking of kind, this is a shocking story, really. A hairdresser in Alabama was offered a teaching job at a cosmetology school, but the offer was reportedly rescinded after the school board discovered... Dun dun dun!
Oh, gay hairdresser story.
He was gay.
What?
What? And I'm going to show you a picture. Now, I don't know if his picture.
I got to get my surprise face
was
ready.
On his resume. There he is. Salon owner Jason Johnson decided to apply for a cosmetology instructor position.
Is that a bird on his head?
No, it's just highlights.
I feel like it's where the bird sits.
He decided.
There's just something behind. It's a blow dryer behind it, but it looks like there's a creature on his head.
Oh, I see what you're doing there.
Actually, I can show you another. This picture, if we go. He's actually. Oops, scaled a
foot. I feel like, wasn't he on Drag Race at one point?
He's sitting with somebody's being interviewed. He's in the salon there.
Salon.
Very busy. Anyway, he applied for the position at Lamar County School of Technology and was quickly offered the job. He turned down other work after accepting the role, but on the evening before he was supposed to start the new job, he received a call from a member of the school board informing him that they were taking the offer off the table due to his lifestyle. Johnson's attorney, Daniel Borman, claims that someone took a photo from his client's Facebook page to a board meeting and then outed him, causing them to change their minds. Based on that picture, they said that that's not the type of person that they would like to hire. And based on that, meaning someone gay, he was not, therefore, hired for the job. Johnson, well, I'm going to get through with the story, and then you can have your 2 points. Johnson says that with a certification to teach and over a decade experience in the industry, he was definitely the most qualified applicant for the job, and in fact, was the only applicant for the job. In a Facebook post after the incident, Johnson declares it may be time to relocate. I think I'm going to quit trying here in the South and just move. That's what they want you to do. Don't let the bastards win. Adding that he wouldn't take the job now, even if they reversed their decision because he'd fear retaliation and would have to therefore live in fear and always look over his shoulder. Alabama is another one of these lovely states that has no specific workplace discrimination protections for LGBT people, and this is another example of the importance of introducing Federal Equality Act to prevent future cases of discrimination. Kat Carlson, the floor is yours.
Well, two things.
Yeah, strangely.
Number one, what year is it? It's a lifestyle again? What happened?
It's a lifestyle.
What happened?
You choose it.
All the way around that and beyond it.
No. In the South, they like to hold on to shit. I mean, that Confederate flag, my God, they're holding on.
And your second point?
It's not just the South.
You better have two. Yeah. If you're going to say two, you better have two.
Sometimes I have four. Like, it all averages out.
No, it has to start at two. I don't care if you have four. You can go up, but you have to have a minimum. There has to be a baseline.
Well, my other point...
Well, good luck for them finding a straight hairdresser. That really is a... That's some in some cases.
Yeah, my other thing was to ask you to recap what state it was, but now I see it was Alabama, so... That was my other thing. But this isn't just the South, people. Like, it's everywhere. No, it's where, you know what I mean? It's internationally, too, but nationally, it's happening. Indiana is another one that's trying to pass good old bathroom laws again.
Mike Pence just can't help himself.
Just can't help himself. Just worried. But, you know, facts don't mean anything. The fact that no one's being attacked in public restrooms, the fact that trans people are just using the bathroom that they want to use right now anyway, or they're peeing on your car.
I certainly don't
let's
recall
be honest.
There being a lot of issues with this before. Like, before it was brought up and people started losing their mind, been happening for years.
Been happening for a long time.
Nobody ever knew.
And aside from the occasional dirty look,
right?
I've not had any trouble.
And you, not even a trans...
not even a transgendered
person. You just get a dirty look because they think you're Justin Bieber walking into the girls' room.
Why is that little boy in here? Where's his mom?
Yeah. There's a
That's when you can use that line. You can suck my dick.
Suck my dick.
There's a really... I can't remember.
I've offered more than once to prove it.
Wow.
I can't remember if it's a movie or a TV show... Where the one character pretends to be gay, and because he's a hairdresser, and he's like, "Who wants to go to a straight hairdresser?" And he doesn't want the women think he's hitting on him because he's seen Shampoo, the movie Shampoo with Warren Beatty, and it was like really funny as they're like trying to set him up with men, and he has to keep the thing going, and
I feel like I remember that.
I don't know, but it sounds like a lovely plot.
Yeah, so but it's one of those things that it's a stereotype, but it exists. And who are you going to find? Like, how is that where you're going to discriminate? Like, yes, there are straight. Of course, there are straight hairdressers and stuff like that. But
well, there was an older movie at one point where the hairdresser was as gay as Christmas. Everybody knew it. And it was an older
Stuck
guy.
Stuck in the Closet, 2008. Joey comes up with an idea that the only way to be respected as a hairstylist in Beverly Hills is to pretend to be gay.
Okay.
This is I'm thinking of an older TV show or something where the hairdresser was clearly gay and the person was trying to set him up and finally came out. He goes, "Look," and though it was flaming gay, he swore to God he was straight. And that was the whole funny thing of the whole show.
There's a show on, it's either Lifetime or the Learning Channel, one of those atrocities, where they're celebrating, like it's a really gay father and a wife.
Oh, you've talked about this before, haven't you?
The daughter, and they're like, they're just, it's awful. Maybe it's called Sweet 16 or something like that.
I swear you've talked about this before.
God, I've seen bits of it at work because people have it on in the break room, and I'm like, that is just the worst.
You've talked about something to do with this where and we looked at pictures. I think we've had a picture up here, and we're like, That's a straight father? What?
Yeah, I can't think of what that show is, but it's just...
It sounds terrible.
So we do have... I think we should put this in the headline, because I don't want to sully entertainment with it.
All right.
But longtime anti-feminist...
Oh, this bitch.
...who was also a college graduate, a lawyer, and ran for Congress, possibly the Senate, and was anti-feminism while reaping all the benefits of said...
Yeah.
Feminism. Phyllis Schlafly, just cunt. Really, it's what the word was meant
she's
for.
Been, she's been holding back women's movement forever.
She died, specifically women's movement, has died at her home in St. Louis at 92. Conservative icon, long history of opposing women's rights, equal pay, abortion, and the Equal Rights Amendment. And one of her big fucking things was that she might have, there was one small point that she may have been making about older women, who I'm sure would have been grandfathered in, not getting their Social Security benefits for a deceased husband. That may have been excluded, that older women who had never worked or made the choice not to work, sure, wouldn't receive survivor benefits. Mm. That was one of the things she brought up that could have possibly fallen in there. It could have had merit. I'm sure that's something that could have been a finer point that could have been argued out. But that was one of her things. But the other thing was she didn't want women serving in the military in any capacity.
Harrison has no opinion on this.
Yeah. So, blaming the Violence Against Women Act for broken marriages. So here are 15 quotes from the cunty Schlafly and her philosophy on women. Blaming the Violence Against Women Act for broken marriages. Her quote, when marriages are broken by false allegations of domestic violence, U.S. taxpayers fork up an estimated $20 billion a year to support the resulting single-parent, welfare-dependent families. So she's worried about false accusations of abuse of women claiming false making false accusations against her husband. She's not worried about the women that are actually being abused in entrapped relationships and finding ways for them to get out.
Hmm.
She's doing the voter fraud thing of let's go with the one case anyone's ever heard of out of millions and side with that person to the detriment of the rest. She just gets cuntier with every minute. What feminism means. Her quote, and the first commandment of feminism is, I am woman, thou shalt not tolerate strange gods who assert that women have capabilities or often choose roles that are different from men's. What?
It was nuts. I watched the whole documentary on the CNN about her. The whole 70s, the women's movement, she was focused in that. And
right, and yeah. But they made some salient points about the degradation of the housewife as, like, they were kind of putting that the housewife down.
Sure.
That you should go out and get a job, you're making the wrong choices by staying home with your kids. They weren't doing it from both sides of the aisle, and there was a backlash to it from the people that chose to stay home and be housewives and doing hard work. Like, that is hard work. There was no way to make that not. Mm-hmm. That was the interesting argument. This shit is not. I just don't even understand that quote. Sexual harassment isn't a big deal. Her quote, non-criminal sexual harassment on the job is not a problem for the virtuous woman, except in the rarest of cases. So the burden of sexual harassment now goes to the woman that she needs to be virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as she can hold, you know what I mean? So is that like right up until he violates you in some way? Like where does your virtue come into the sexual harassment? Here, this one's fun. It's really dangerous for a guy to go to college these days. He's better off if he doesn't talk to any women when he gets there. The feminists are perfectly glad to make false accusations and then claim all men are capable of some dastardly deed like rape. From her article, this keeps refreshing and I don't know why. The name of this article is the best part of this. Hatred of men gave rise to the University of Virginia rape story. Mm-hmm. This was in 2014. Like this is bullshit. This bitch had been active. She just recently endorsed Trump to the horror of the Republican establishment.
Yeah, she did.
By getting married, the woman has consented to sex, and I don't think you can call it rape. This was in 2007. This is her response. And I think either Anant or Amina was talking last year about marital rape cases being mm-hmm. decided in the country. So, yeah. Like, no, women have no rights in these stories. Like, the minute you succumb to God or the marriage, you have no control
property.
You're just property. You're just chattel. You're just chattel at this point. ERA means abortion funding, means homosexual privileges, means whatever else. This was in 1999. This was 25 years after the ERA failed. That's hers. Men should stop treating feminists like ladies and instead treat them like the men they say they want to be. Talk about I did not understand the lesson.
Wow.
Yeah, she didn't get the memo.
Every country that has experimented with women in actual combat has abandoned the idea, and the notion that Israel uses women in combat is a feminist myth. There's a couple different countries that use women in combat. There is a war on men, and feminists are very open about it. They don't conceal it. They brag about it. You read all of their material. They're always saying they want to abolish the patriarchy. They say that husbands are not necessary in a marriage and they're not necessarily in raising children. December 2014. Sex education classes are like in-home sales parties for abortions.
Wow. Oh,
you could buy some princess house. You could buy some Tupperware.
So here's some. These ones didn't make the greatest hits. They're just here.
I wonder what the return is.
The atomic bomb is a marvelous gift that was given to our country by a wise God. What the fuck?
Wow.
Minors are an intended audience for a highly profitable sex industry. Impressionable teenagers are easily persuaded to have abortions, and homosexual clubs in high schools are designed for the young. Well, who else is going to be at a high school homosexual club?
Younger people.
If it's hopefully older people, younger you're people. In NAMBLA. Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully younger people.
People think that child support enforcements benefit children, but it doesn't.
Say that again?
People think that child support enforcement, like getting dads to pay child support, benefits children. According to Ms. Shafley,
it doesn't.
It doesn't. So in 92, and I always forget if it's not Huckabee, it's Pat Robertson gave his speech. I think it was 92. It might have been 96. One of the most horrible speeches until last Wednesday of just outright disdain for a group of people. And it had made the press. It was just horrible to watch, and it really did kind of guarantee Clinton as our next president was the speech by, I'm pretty sure it was, Pat Robertson. So and all of her anti-gay stuff at the time, because the fight then was for funding for AIDS. It was Clinton had talked about the gays in the military, had talked about AIDS research during the campaign, so it became very left and right. That's kind of when the shift took place of, like, we were talking about it openly and Democrats and Republicans chose sides on the gay aisles. And Phyllis Schlafly was around and talking, and she was at every convention until I think this was the first one that she wasn't able to attend, or she may have been there. I can't remember which. One of the little gay rags outed her son, and he said, I don't want anyone to think I'm ashamed. I don't want people are misinterpreting what's going on with the Republican Party. They're very supportive of gays. Well, not all the time. And, like, it's really fun. So the LA Times picked it up in, maybe August of 92. The LA Times picked up the story of outing her son. And she kind of piped down on a lot of issues then. That was kind of when her national prominence went away. So
got tarnished a little bit.
Yeah, so that was always my favorite thing, was that Phyllis Schlafly, lord of lies and mother of hate, also had a gay kid. So all of her blaming of, you know, gays can't have children, they'll raise them gay. And she was the starter of all that stuff. That was her doing. And the
what did Anita Bryant get it from her?
No. Anita Bryant started it, but she's the one that was more political. Anita Bryant kind of went away fast. She had her run in the '70s, but Phyllis Schlafly was. She wasn't just a Miss America selling orange juice. She was a lawyer. She was part of the Republican Party. She had run for office. She was a best-selling. She's written like 17 books or something.
And guess when her last book came out?
Like minutes ago.
Yeah, today.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It literally released today.
I knew.
And it's about something about, again, why Trump is fantastic or some bullshit.
But she she walked blazingly into the ERA thing when 25 states out of, I think we need 36 to ratify, they were almost there, and she started writing articles and campaigning against it. They got to 30 or 31, and then 5 because of her rescinded their adoption of the amendment. Mm. So she is the main reason that there was not an equal rights amendment for women. This cunt.
Well, now maybe we can get some
who took advantage of everything else.
Maybe. Right. Yeah, my favorite meme had her picture and it said, made a career out of arguing against careers for women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Irony?
Yeah. So, Phyllis, wherever you are in hell, you can suck my
Enjoy
dick.
Enjoy that. Yeah, in fact, I'm looking forward to watching... Rachel was doing a segment tonight on her because she had recently done a big one with regards to her because, again, everything she was against, yada, yada, yada. And then she showed up at Trump's, one of his things, several weeks ago. Yeah, just to hold back your own people. It makes more sense. But you making a comment about her having a gay son makes me think of our former governor here in Arizona, Jan Brewer, gay grandson. Never wanted to talk about him. Never brought it up.
And Barry Goldwater, when we were doing the equal rights, the anti-discrimination stuff in the 90s, and I went with Mike and Darren, we went to sit at the city council meeting, because they were small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time that I had ever heard that unleash of religious vileness at me. Mm-hmm. I had never sat there and listened to that kind of awfulness. And then Barry Goldwater's grandson showed up, and everybody was like, ooh, we're going to have a Goldwater conservative in here to back up this argument. And he was gay and just called them all out. And he was like kind of a plant from the right side of that. But that was the first thing I had ever seen. And then Barry Goldwater's, Barry Goldwater, before he died, changed his stance on a lot of things because he was a horrible motherfucker that we should not have. Things should not be named after him in Arizona.
Oh, no. I always think about that when I go to the airport because one of our terminals is the Barry Goldwater. I think it's Terminal 4 is the Barry Goldwater terminal.
And just a rotten motherfucker. But to the horror of the Republican Party, he took back most of the shit that he was spewing.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Republicans, this is going to be a great story. The Republican mayor of Midland City, Alabama, got nasty on Facebook after losing her seat to a black candidate in this week's mayoral election. This was actually a couple-week-old story. Her post was, quote, I lost and the N-word won. But she didn't use N-word. Here is what her post looked like on Facebook. Patsy, this is Dawn. How's the election going?
Oh, Jesus.
I lost, the N-word won. Oh, I'm so sorry. That literally was on Facebook, and there was a screenshot of it. So, Skipper, she was griping Mayor Patsy Capshaw, Skipper, when someone asked her how the election had turned out. Skipper was defeated by Joanne Bennett Grimsley, former assistant city clerk and an employee of the Dale County government for over 27 years. She has previously served as the city's water clerk and the county court clerk. Mayor Skipper was named interim mayor last February when her husband, former mayor Virgil Skipper, had retired for health reasons. Well, county officials voted 3-1 for Patsy Skipper to take over her husband's position.
Oh, take that down.
However, I was going to show you a lovely picture of this lovely lady. Voters, however, preferred that Grimsley be at the city helm, casting 233 votes against 148. So she got ousted. Just got her ass handed to her, basically. Skipper appears to have made her Facebook timeline private, but posts from 2015 are visible. She posts various pro-Christian, pro-Republican memes, including an image of the White House that reads, I want a White House that honors God, share if you agree, and other crap like that. But yeah, she just put it right out there that she was not happy about who beat her. But clearly the public knew better.
Jesus.
These people are still around.
Well, I don't know if it's Beavis or Butthead, which one of the Trump sons went on and did a real interview. Like, this is not from The Onion. And he said one of the reasons his father ran for president was because last year the Obamas rolled out a holiday tree, not a Christmas tree. And it wasn't true.
Right.
And they, like, ran the tape of it, and he was like, oh, I don't know. That's what we heard.
So we heard? You didn't vet that?
And you're like... What? Like, in a nation that trips over Santa Claus to get to the reindeer on your way to the elf.
I do love me some Santa.
Trips over Santa Claus in, like, July.
Right. As long as he's white.
And because Santa just is white.
But, I mean, I know I jumped the gun. We haven't even had one pumpkin spice latte, and I'm already on the war on Christmas. But I had to get
it
there.
It started today.
Today's white.
Pumpkin spice day.
Oh, it is. I saw it. Yes.
Santa just is white.
That's good. Thank you, Kelly.
Amina, I agree with you. There's a. She's thinking social media should have a do you really want to post this option on accounts with more than 1,000 followers? And a breathalyzer would probably not be a bad idea.
That's probably a good idea, too.
Because
yeah.
I am known for my 2 a.m. after this show.
Or if certain
drunken posts that the next morning, I'm like, oh, God, you're a douche.
Or maybe Facebook should have certain words flagged that, you know, you're. you know, pictures, some pictures you post, not necessarily on Facebook, but other online things, they have to go through some sort of an approval process. So maybe if it has certain words in it, well, maybe we should have that checked.
Believe it or not, I don't know, some users might remember, but AOL, remember AOL?
I do.
Remember the AOL, the magic that was?
It's still my email.
I know. Do you remember the magic that was the AOL chat room?
I mm-hmm. do.
Do you remember how they would put little asterisks every time you wanted to curse your face off unless it was a private chat room?
Perhaps
Facebook could institute some sort of just overall, you know, just slight censoring.
And as far as I'm concerned, whether you say N, five asterisks, or the actual word, I know what you meant.
Well, sure. Mm.
Right.
But maybe there could be a stop. Maybe there just could be a little
stop.
Well,
but then again, it goes back to what we've said before.
Hey,
I actually would rather you wear. I would actually rather you wear your bigotry on your sleeve. So I'd rather you post it and not be restrained, because that way I know. Oh, it's like, if you're going to hate gays, you're not going to let the gays come get a cake at your store. Just put a shingle out. I'll know to go around your store.
And we've talked about this in 100 different manners, but the overt versus covert racism, homophobia, ignorance. I want you to put the sign on the window that says, no gays allowed. Like, so that way I can just walk by. I don't want to go in, think I'm enjoying your business, and then find out you have this quiet disdain. I like it better when I knew it, because then I had a little respect for you than... Just say it outright.
I like to know the sandwich I'm buying. Part of that money is not going to go to your church that does everything it can to stop gays from everything.
You put the Confederate flag on something you own, we're just probably not going to get along.
We're probably going to be fine.
I'm probably going to cross the street.
Yeah.
But it's a choice I made. You made your choice clear. I made my choice based on it, and everybody's happy.
Mm-hmm.
We will never conflict.
I really should find a way to dispose of my Confederate flag.
Do you really have one?
I really have one. Yeah, it was.
Now, is it? Does it have some sort of a historic reference, or is it just?
No, it was in poor taste at a white trash party.
Okay,
which is the right place to bring it.
It made the entrance that I wanted to make, because I cranked up the Ozzy Osbourne. I climbed in the back of my pickup truck. I had my girlfriend drive it down the street while we were waking up the neighbors, while I was waving the fucking flag. It was amazing.
Yeah, you got the context.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well,
made two little kids cry down the block.
If I'm having, if I have a fire this winter,
one of them said, "You can suck my dick, lady."
If I have a fire this winter, you're welcome to bring it over, and if you'd like to burn it in my, because actually I have a bunch of flags that I need to burn, because that's how you can dispose of American flags. If you there's a ceremony you do and blah blah blah, or you can take them to the, what's the?
Do I have to do the ring dance around the?
You could. We could just for fun. You can. You take it to the what'd you
Foreign
call it?
Legion?
Is it the Foreign Legion?
The VFW?
VFW. You can take them there. Now, that's American flags. I don't know about that one.
But, I don't know either.
I would assume that some sort of a ceremony and a burning would be justification.
Google.
Let's call Ann Coulter.
Oh, yes. Ann, what would you do?
See how she disposes of hers.
Well, she would probably give us a packing slip and have it mail it to her.
Dear Ann Coulter.
Can we play the clips from...
I have an American flag.
I don't know if we can, because I'm afraid they will nail us for copyright on that. I'm afraid that they will, because that's pretty blatant on that.
But it's not a song. I don't know how they'd find it. Like, we read them all.
Spoken word. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I've got two... No, this is my final story. A man identifying as a sovereign citizen resisted arrest when police stopped his truck and attempted to reach for a gun, a news release from Slidell Police says. According to the release, officers initiated a traffic stop after they saw a green Ford Ranger truck violating several traffic laws on Fremont Avenue. The driver, James Doyle Webb of Bay St. Louis, I've never heard of Bay St. Louis. Oh, I'm sorry, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, my bad, told officers that he was a sovereign citizen and ignored their request to see his driver's license, registration, and insurance. Instead, asking for the officer's name and badge numbers, the release says. After providing their names and badge numbers, the officers again requested Webb's documentation, which he again refused to produce. Webb instead took out a small notepad and wrote he was a free traveler and not required to give any of the officers any information because they did not have legal authority over him. The officers noticed Webb reaching toward a bag sitting next to him in the front seat, and according to the release, the officers felt Webb may have been reaching for something such as a weapon and ordered him out of his truck. Now, instead, Webb tried to roll his window up. The officers prevented the window from going up and, after a brief struggle, removed him from the truck and arrested him. A loaded .40 caliber Hecker & Koch handgun was later found that Webb was reaching for. Now, the only identification that he handed them was this. Now, this is kind of funny. Constitutional Protection Travel Identification, James Webb, self-aware. Living man on the land, care of, yada, 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 Bay St. Louis, Zip code exempt, non-domestic male, and I like the date of birth. Date of birth. Hearsay. I don't know where in the hell he decided to come up with this whole thing. Well, that's the picture that they have of him there. But then when they arrested him, he was a little less happy. This picture from the jail. He just doesn't, look quite as happy. A little sad face.
That's when you find out there's no more pudding.
Wow. I never thought of it like that. No more wah-wah. Yeah.
Pudding is delicious. No, you can't fuck it up no matter where you are.
You do enjoy the pudding. There's no
skin, valid. No skin. It's an invalid argument.
I do enjoy pudding.
In breaking news.
Oh my God, there's breaking.
Well, it's not breaking, but I just did a little investigation.
Well, you enjoy that.
If your Confederate flag gets a smell in it that you just can't Febreze out, or it starts looking too gnarly to honor all of the fallen heroes of the Confederacy, it may be time to replace it. Before you staple up your new Confederate flag to the fake wood paneling of your basement, you will need to properly dispose of the old flag.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
I know. This is educational.
It is. I feel
my
good.
My favorite part. I like
all the people in Nairobi, people. Kenya will be happy to hear how they can do this.
It is important you give the Confederate flag the respect it deserves during the disposal. There's an 8-step plan.
Oh, it is.
8 steps.
We got time.
Number one. Rake all the animal waste you can find in your yard into a pile and place the old Confederate flag over it.
Okay.
Stomp and grind dog, cat, and pig shit into the Confederate flag. Number two.
I have a feeling that these aren't the real...
Number two.
The real ways to do it.
Wad up the Confederate flag into a shit-smeared ball and place it in a trash bag.
Oh! Okay.
Number three, drive the trash bag to any statue honoring a general or political leader of the Confederacy.
Oh.
That seems honorable. That seems historical. Okay.
Okay. Luckily, hard to find here in Arizona.
Right, really, it's kind of hard to find.
I'm going to have to go road trip.
Well, we are the Southwest, not the South.
Right.
Though, some people confuse that. Mm-hmm.
You know, I've already been on a road trip with Al Perkins, and it was delightful, so I feel like we should go
again. I feel
like
Mississippi's like 7 blocks away.
Great, good. He's so good on geography.
It's just on the other side of the 10. Make a right.
All right.
Pass IKEA.
Drive trash bag to any statue honoring a general. Number four, remove the shitty flag from the garbage bag and cover the head of the monument with the flag.
Oh.
Douse both in gasoline or kerosene.
Either one.
Dealer's choice.
Kerosene travels better than gasoline.
Number six is in two parts. A... Light, and two,
run.
Step back.
Listeners, safety first.
Yes, always. When burning a flag that's got shit in it.
Safety first.
Safety first.
Number seven, if any pieces of the Confederate flag break loose while the flag is burning, it is important that you track them down and extinguish them with piss to prevent the fire spreading to anything useful.
So wasn't step like 1A... Drink a lot of water to be ready for spontaneous.
Right, to be ready for later fire extinguishing.
That may have been earlier in the article. And finally, number eight, once the Confederate flag is completely consumed, speak appropriate words of thanks to President Abraham Lincoln, General William Tecumseh Sherman, and General Ulysses S. Grant for saving the nation and the world from the cowardly traitors of the Confederate. Blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, and there more, blah. Oh, Brazil is listening. Hi, Brazil.
Hi, Brazil.
Now Brazil is educated on how to dispose of
Louise.
Their Confederate flag.
Louise from Brazil.
Sometimes, abeces, if you will. My urine has a pretty high alcohol content. Leading to more flames.
Little known fact.
Oh, I see that here in the frequently asked questions. Yeah. It says always designate a designated driver.
Ah.
Oh. Well, again, safety
Smart.
First. That's really.
Safety.
Is there a hard hat involved or any of this stuff? I wonder if you have to wear. No?
No,
no vest?
There was no safety gear
Maybe one of those,
recommended.
One of those ghillie suits you have to wear. I would think you probably own a ghillie suit or ghillie, whatever that thing was called, and you have one of those.
Maybe.
You wear your suit to the. To the shit storm.
That way no one will see you.
Ooh, it's good.
Oh, fancy.
There was a flame, but we don't know who said it.
Uh-huh.
Couldn't tell.
Move like the wind.
Prayers mean so much.
My prayers for more tacos last week were answered in multiple ways.
In nice. Unfolded.
You had tacos. We had tacos.
Taco trucks on every corner.
Every one of them.
I believe in Jesus.
Of course you do. And of course, you
that,
know.
That 2-day meme stream was amazing.
It was possible. Oh, God, you got to play. Oh, God, we got to find it.
What?
Take a dance break. We got to find the guy that does the interview with him, the gay guy.
Dance breaks are 30 seconds.
We'll find it.
Back. Oh, wait. I know what you're talking about. What's his name? Something Bobby. All
right, you play entertainment. I'll read the headlines while you find it. How about that? Are you done with headlines?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right.
Would you like to do your entertainment stuff?
Yeah, and then you do...
And I want to play the... Oh, we already did it. Sorry. I was going to play the Death Game jingle song while you were talking about Phyllis, but
too
late. Oh,
she's still dead.
Too late.
And we don't want to... I mean, the Death Den is a lovely place to be. We don't want to...
No, but it was lovely for her to die.
Yeah, it was. Good times.
It's on. There was this. Here we go.
Entertainment! My heart's not in it. Barbra Streisand scores her 11th number one album. You can look forward to a new album from Taylor Swift based on recent events. Kelly Ripa's back. We have a Broadway closing. I keep hitting the wrong buttons. A show to tell you about in case you haven't watched it, and you should. And a documentary that I saw last week that was kind of creepy. And Stranger Things Season 2 details have been let out. So we're going to start with this documentary that was on CNN last week, if anybody saw it. It premiered at, maybe Sundance or whatever the March one is. It's called Holy Hell, because I'm all about the cults.
Found it.
And it is about a...
Oh, no, I meant to tape it. Did I miss it? Or they'll reshow it.
Yeah, they'll reshow it. A cult that started in California with smart, beautiful, healthy people. It was like not your usual cult things. They were founded by a former porn star actor who was all about spirituality and group living and all these things. And again, from this new era that we're in where everything is on film, the man that is the filmmaker of this particular documentary and a former member of this cult, he had been the like film historian for the last 20 some years that he was in the cult. He was in from the mid 80s until like 2004, 2005. I think it was like 22 years he was in. And like all these years later, all these people that have since left the cult, some are still in. Now they're based out of Hawaii. They follow them and find them later. Really, really interesting to see the appeal of people that you'd be like, didn't really see you as a cult member. Like successful business people that would pick up and like none of these people seemed particularly like desperate
like
or
cuckoo.
Yeah, or like they had shit going on, and yet they still fell under this spell of like all these beautiful people. And the weird part, the thing that, because every cult has to have something that makes them weird, is that this guy was a trained dancer. And so he got a lot of dancers, and he would do these elaborate ballets that they would rehearse for an entire year and perform, but only for themselves. So there was like no one in the audience, but the people that helped build the costumes and the sets, and they were very elaborate ballets, and famous ballet dancers ended up in this cult. And it's just, it's craziness. And it's called Holy Hell. It's out on... If it's not out on video yet, it will be. They may. I think they struck a deal with CNN like they did with Blackfish, where CNN helps support it so they get to show it a couple times before it comes out on video. But it's really interesting, and the fact that they, even though that was like just past the era of all the cults and we're only a couple years past all that weird stuff in the 70s, they all just laugh it off as people suggest, like, you know, this is a cult, right? And the one... There's a brother and two sisters that joined together, and I think the brother is the filmmaker. And his parents were like, I guess we got to let them do this. I mean, it's no real harm. Like, they're not, like, experimenting with huge amounts of drugs or not hurting anybody. They just live in this weird way, and their kids disappeared for 22 years. And when the kids were like, okay, we are so sorry. Like, that was totally a fucking nuts way to spend 22 years.
Mm.
And it's just, and to see the guy that ran it and the appeal, and there was all kinds of like plastic surgery and forcing people to like change their look to fit more in, but they were very healthy. He was all about exercise and eating right, and there was no alcohol, there was no drugs, there was no sex, but of course there was drugs, alcohol, and sex.
It was the Olympic Village as well.
Officially, no, but everywhere. So really interesting if you get a chance to see it.
It feels like the next like too far step, you know, like occasionally in your life, you've probably been drunk with a group of friends that you greatly enjoy, and someone suggests that, oh, we should all just, you know, save on expenses and go live in a big compound.
Right.
Or it,
yeah.
it may be specific to lesbians, because I feel like lesbians say that a lot. But it feels like just that step just a little too far. It went from, hey, we make a great family, let's all live close to each other, to crazy town.
Yeah, and like one like the sister brought in her brother and sister, and she was like this big member, and I mean there's stories about rape and all this, and it just gets really ugly. But one kid brings in his elderly aunt. So whenever you see the pictures, it's this strikingly young, beautiful crowd, and then one old lady. And you're just like, I need to know more about her. And at the end, they're like, well, Charles left with, but still cares for his elderly aunt. Because he was, I guess he had to take care of her. So he's like, well, I'm kind of in a cult, so I guess she's got to come with me.
Come on, Nana.
So, I mean, it's
Auntie, we're joining a cult. Yeah. Come on, let's go
but
get in the
cult.
But it's
called Holy Hell, and it was just fascinating. I watched it last week when I was on call. Yeah. Let's go to tape. So, and let's get to the straight. So Jersey Boys will be ending its Broadway run, the show that should not be anywhere near as good as it is or have run as long as it has, will be ending its run on January 15th, 2017, after 4,642 shows. It will be the 12th longest Broadway show in history. It debuted in La Jolla, California in 2004. It is the story of Frankie Valli in the Four Seasons. It's one of those shows that you kind of like grit your teeth and you're like, I guess I'll go see that. My mother wants to see it, or whoever, like,
yeah,
the aunt that isn't quite in the cult yet wants something to do, so we gotta go see it. And then you go, and it's really effective and very good. It's a very good story told with music, you know, and the music is not they don't try to make the story fit the songs like they do in Mamma Mia.
Right.
They don't back their way into a story.
Yeah.
They just tell the story of Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and they put in the music where it happened.
Where it was appropriate.
To just punctuate a moment. And the music is really good, because it's Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and then Frankie Valli solo. And tells their story, and really an ugly look. I think the guy's name is Tommy, that was like one of the producers of the show. So his life gets a little bit more of a closer scrutiny and kind of an ugly look, but he agreed to help them, so he provided, like, he's the person, you're like, well, they're really shitting on that guy. Which I thought was kind of brave. Like, usually you would think that would be the hero of the story or something, but no, he went the other way with it.
Well, Jersey Boys was actually my, like, gateway drug into the new musicals, because I kind of grew up with the classic musical movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Those were always on cable, and Mom watched those Saturdays and Sundays all the time. And then there was just kind of that lull where I was just a heathen child and, you know, drinking all the time anyway.
Aww.
And I know. Oh, sad. And then Jersey Boys went around, and my girlfriend at the time was like, hey, I want to go see this. I've heard good things about it. And I was like, ugh.
Yeah. You're like, oh, really?
Really?
That?
But I was going to go to the bar.
Yeah.
And yeah, it sucked me right in. I was like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
I love you.
And one of the things that I got all emotional listening to is when they did Who Loves You? Who loves you, pretty woman? And all of a sudden I just thought of my sisters and the clock radio in my sister's room and like sitting in there and hearing that song and how all of us would kind of like, who loves you? Who's gonna love you? You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden I could just imagine being a little kid and being like, God, this is a good fucking song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As everybody kind of like stopped talking and sang along and then like, and you were saying, so she's a bitch.
And that was one of the things that sucked me in. I was like, wait a minute. I love all of this music.
Yeah. And then they had gone along with a certain amount of instruments and everything, and then they get to...
Oh, my God.
And so just as it's about to start, I looked at the person I was singing with, and I'm like, oh, they have not had a horn section for this whole show. Do not even tell me that we're going to do.
And then they just come walking across
the top of the stage, this horn section just going nuts. Because you know that it's coming. Like, you're like, well, you can't do this with a synthesizer. This has to be real horns. And they've been quiet. Like, they haven't played a horn the entire night. And all of a sudden, just the horns come across the back. And my nipples got hard. And I was like, oh, you got me, Jersey Boys. You got me good.
You can't help it. Your eyes tear up a little bit. Uh-huh. Goosebumps jump up. Yeah.
And then, you know, as they tell the story. So that's closing. In a long run for a jukebox musical that's a little better than it should be, the movie is another one of those transitions to the movies where they kind of made a clunker.
Mm.
It's all there. They didn't do anything offensive, but it, like, kind of the producer's movie. It just lands flat most of the time. The only thing in the producers that works is the Springtime for Hitler brought to beautiful life yes. really just goes nuts. And this one, it really just is missing something, because you're like, just play a documentary about Frankie Valli. Like, anyways, let's see. Chartwatch tells us that Miss Barbara Streisand has her 11th number one album. Mm-hmm. Encore's Movie Partners. She sings Broadway, enters the Billboard 200 in the top spot. It beats out Florida Georgia Line and Britney Spears for the number one spot, and a big surprise, because they were really pushing Britney pretty hard. She has the longest span of number one albums in chart history, just shy of 52 years, 1964 with People. So not her debut album, as many people think. It was not her Grammy-winning debut album. Only three other artists have had 11 or more number one albums. The Beatles, 19, Jay-Z, 13, and Bruce Springsteen, 11. Streisand expands her lead over Madonna as the female artist with the most number one albums. Madonna has 8. Madonna has twice come within one album of catching Streisand, but Streisand just keeps putting out albums,
and she
which
should.
I love.
Until Madonna stops, so Streisand will always be up there.
Yeah. This is Streisand's second studio album in a row to reach number one. She also topped the chart with 2014's Partners. It's only the second time in her long career that she's reached number one with back-to-back albums. She first accomplished this with 93's Back to Broadway and 97's Higher Ground. Do not buy that album. It's terrible. fair warned.
Good to know.
Second
Barbara
oldest,
appreciates your support.
Yeah. She's the second oldest artist to ever notch a number one album in the U.S. Tony Bennett was 85. She's 74. She's now had more number one albums in the 2010s than she did in the 2000s or the 1960s. Isn't that crazy? That... like, this is the decade of Barbra Streisand
right.
in her 70s.
But all that she's done.
Yeah. She's had a number one album in every decade since the 60s. She had one in the 60s, three in the 70s, two in the 80s, two in the 90s, one in the 2000s, and now two in this decade.
Wow. One of my favorite albums of hers still is the Broadway album.
Oh, yeah.
My grandmother, for some reason, my grandmother got it, and then she was playing it in the house, and I was, I don't know, how old I was at the time, but I just fell in love with the album, and I actually have it in there, the vinyl, that because my grandmother didn't need it after a while because she wasn't there, and then I inherited a lot of the albums that they had, the old sets of, you know, whatever the hell they were, big like 5 album sets of all this other crap, big band music and country stuff they had and all this, but one of them was that album, and I loved that and Lush Life from
Linda Ronstadt.
Grandma loved that.
Oh, that was gorgeous. That's
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And the Broadway album, still one of my favorite albums of all time. It's frequently on heavy rotation in my house, my car, my travels.
Your neighbors hate you.
And she does wonderful things. It's where she took Stephen Sondheim aside and told him, "You're pretty good, Steve, but let's change some lyrics." And she perfected Where Are the Clowns. She took what is one of the best songs in the American catalog and told him that as an actress, repeating yourself makes no sense. And there's more that you could tell of that story. And it comes from a little night music. It comes from a very specific scene where a man has been chasing a woman for years. She finally turns to him and says, "All right, I do love you back. Let's do this." And he's like, "I moved on." So that's the whole thing about there ought to be clowns and losing my timing this late in her career. Like, she's finally ready to tell the man that's been pursuing her for years that she loves him. And he's like, "Nope, sorry, I left." Uh-huh. And she's like, she's older. She's kind of a has-been. She's not the star that she once was. She was relying on this affair with this man that's been her constant companion. And when he says, "Not at all," and she just has to do the, this is kind of funny, isn't it? Like, there's got to be humor here somewhere. So
don't bother. They're already here.
So if you've seen A Little Night Music and what she did to it, like how she got, now she didn't do it, but she convinced him, like, look at that scene again and don't make her repeat herself. Like, give her a second verse. Mm-hmm. And it's just brilliant the way that he does it and fits it into still in context for the show. But he makes some other changes too. But that's the one that always struck me. It's like one of those songs that sent in the
comments. Well, now I have to go back and listen to it because I never knew that story.
Oh, yeah.
Now I have to go back and listen.
And she called him and said, like, as an actress, that makes no sense. And this scene is so rich with possibilities for this female character. And you make her sing the same thing twice. Like, why would you do that? So it's very good. So, and this is the latest Broadway album arrives in what has been a very strong year for Broadway. Two Broadway albums, Hamilton and Sarah Bareilles' What's Inside, Song from Waitress, have made the top 10 in the past year. And So it's kind of a big deal that the old lady's still getting it done. But if you haven't, one of my favorite show tunes of all time is At the Ballet, one of the most evocative songs ever written. She does it with Anne Hathaway, and I can't think of who the third person is that she does it with, and they just get it. They get it across. That's been the video that's been playing all summer.
The other video is the one where she does it with... why can't I think of it?
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better is, I think it's very
cute.
Charming.
That video was cute.
And Cole Porter's dead, so he didn't have to find out that Barbara changed the lyrics.
Decided it up this just. I was wondering, though, because she was on either 60, no, it wasn't 60 Minutes. She was on CBS Sunday Morning a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. And that's how I learned about the album to begin with. And I was, when I'm watching it, I'm thinking to myself, I think she has softened her stance on the whole lighting and the way the shot's set up and everything's done, because she was shot from two different settings in an interview, right side and left side. And then they were walking around outside, and I'm like, there didn't seem to be as much control as she used to have.
There really isn't. Because if you watch her movies, which Daniel Ray hasn't, she's shot from both angles. There is a preferred side to shoot her from.
Well, she did talk about something to do with that. She said something about, she didn't say it specifically, but she gestured to one side or another about something they were talking about. But it had nothing to do with lighting or a camera shot.
And there's very few times that the camera ever turns on her. So you don't ever get a scene with her where you would see her from this angle and then from the other angle. Mm. For some reason, and who knows, her first movie was directed by William Wyler, and the cinematographer on that movie kind of ruined her, and all her movies look like, when she directs a movie, they end up looking like that big, funny girl, beautiful, saturated color, the shot is exquisite, everything could be stopped and be a painting. That's how she kind of came into the movies, and you kind of see it like that, oh, she was really curious about cinematography and how she was going to look on screen. And she was photographed by one of the most famous cinematographers ever, and with William Wyler as her director. And it kind of carries forward in all of her movies of that, get that big lush shot, get that you know, the Prince of Tides, those scenes where they're playing on the dock and it's sunset and it's just gorgeous. And, you know, the shot of her saying Lowenstein, or him saying Lowenstein across the bridge, and it's the helicopter shot of Savannah with the bridge. Like, there's just really unnecessary, gorgeous photography in these movies. That, like, this is a movie about two people on a road trip. Why is there a helicopter shot of the foliage? But you kind of get that. So
there's also the helicopter shot in Yentl, where she's on the front of the tugboat.
Bum, bum. And it ends just like Funny Girl. You have a tugboat with her and Don't Rain on My Parade, and then you have the tugboat ending Yentl and the helicopter that flies all the way to East Slavobia. So, you know what I mean? So it's seriously that boat seen from Mars.
Would you look up, is that a real city? I need to know. Slavobia? No, I'm kidding.
Are you using the traditional spelling?
Yeah, yes, I am. As it sounds. Just like it sounds. So for some reason, this will not let me load it. Here we go. So Kelly Ripa is returning solo for Live, so we have not announced.
No, I've caught it a couple times, and it's just Live with Kelly, and she has different hosts.
Rotating hosts. I think I believe that they are still trying to work out with CNN how to get Anderson Cooper on there as a permanent host, and it may be after the elections. He may not be able to go on there because he's one of the moderators for the debates coming up. So he may have to at least get through the one debate before he goes on. But if I'm not mistaken,
got, what, 6-9 weeks. How much time?
Yeah. But if I'm not mistaken, that is where we're headed with that. And then are you sure it's not you? Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston, I think is how you say his name, have broken up. Expect a new album.
A good album of breakup and heart torch songs.
And I was, as I read this headline and no further down the story, because I don't care about either of these people, all I thought was the third comment should probably be borrowed from Bristol Palin's Facebook page. She's got to give really shitty blowjobs. Like, when you get to your 21st boyfriend, isn't it you?
Bristol Palin, harder to pull out of than a wreck.
Yeah. That joke will always be
funny.
That
is funny, yes.
Always be funny. Let me think. And then I talked about that. Let's look about that. Nope, that says look it up. So then, and the little thing that I found, Entertainment Weekly, I'm a few weeks behind due to vacation and travels and stuff. I'm not completely caught up on Entertainment Weekly. So, oh, no, I have two things. So, one of the things that they had an episode, they had a issue where it had like 50 things that make their staff happy. So each member of the Entertainment Weekly editorial staff or somewhere in the staff had to just say, like, what's your go-to, I need to cheer myself up? Some people put songs, some people put movies. Mm. And I was reading through it and, you know, enjoying their choices. Cute, and right. Seeing if I knew them or if I agreed.
Crackers.
And, yeah.
Sondheim.
Sondheim. Like, caraway seed Triscuits with the occasional cream cheese spread.
Jimmy Choo's.
Yeah.
I get it.
Kayaking in P-Town.
Yeah, see.
Things like that.
Things that, you know.
Pina coladas.
Oh. Do you like making love in the rain?
In the rain, yeah. They're all on there. So they...
You notice yoga's not on the list.
No, never will be. Or spinning. So they brought up the season 3 finale of The Office when Jim finally asks Pam out. And they had a really cute picture of Pam sitting there smiling, and they were saying, like, just the smile that she gives, because it just ends with her smile. She's been talking, and her last thing is, wait, what was the question? Because she's interviewing for the fake documentary,
yeah.
And he comes in and asks her out on a date finally, and she's like, I'm sorry, what was the question? She goes, this beautiful smile, and they mentioned it, so I was like, all right, I'm on call, I got nothing to do. So I watched The Office, and I saw the whole thing, but there's things came up, and there's seasons that I don't quite remember. Oh my god! I went through in the fun run. If you have Netflix,
the fun with the
nipple chafing. And the opening 35 seconds of the fun run episode is probably one of the greatest joys of my life. As someone talks about how good their life is while he runs someone over,
yeah,
and just how everything's going their way as a body flies up the windshield,
runs Meredith over, breaks her hip.
We talking about this
pelvis, yeah. And you just get all the sweetness. And it's so good. So I've just been watching, I've been avoiding the news and just watching different episodes, not in order or anything. So then I look to see which episodes won Emmys for writing or directing. Watch those. Well, the fun run is the one that I can't have anything near my mouth because I seriously lose my shit like 15 times. The sexual harassment seminar, conflict revolution, the booze cruise. There's just
the
so many.
The Dundies were always a good one for me.
The Dundies is hysterical.
I love to find and watch like montages of Jim pranks Dwight.
Yes.
Like all of those are amazing.
And conflict resolution is the sweet way that he realizes that Pam has slipped away, that she's going to marry Roy. And they list off all the pranks he's done on Dwight, and he's like, well, when you say them all in a row, they're not very funny. But they are hysterical.
They're all
You're
hilarious.
Laughing at it. They describe every prank in detail.
I think my favorite is when he dresses up as Dwight and like impersonates Dwight.
Oh, the one that they talk about where he every day puts another nickel in the earpiece of his phone. So that he gets used to the weight of 40 nickels in his phone. And then he takes it out and he punches himself in the face. So
yes.
Goddamn funny. Okay, so then The Office, if you haven't seen it, so sweet. Watch it in order.
I just found this picture.
Oh, yeah, that's the chafing nipples.
It's not okay.
Oh, my God. They're raising awareness of a disease that's pretty much been eradicated
rabies,
in the U.S.
Wasn't it? Rabies. Oh. Wasn't it rabies?
Yeah, it was rabies.
Oh.
And she got the rabies because Dwight...
Of the bat.
The bag with the bat held over her head and it bit her. But then they had the casual dress day where she's wearing like one of those little short dresses that just... it's what do they call it? Like a halter dress?
Halter top.
So it's
yeah,
here.
Just kind of.
It's
kind of falling
so
down.
They tell her that her dress is too short. So she's like, oh, you fucking prudes. And she pulls it down and they're like, we can see your breasts. So she's like, oh my God, I can't win. So then she pulls it up, covers her breasts.
It's basically a lengthy tube top.
And she walks over and bends over to get something off a counter. And they just show her crotch pixeled out. While everyone in the office is like, it's so fucking wrong.
Well, sprinkles in the freezer.
That's the fun run.
Is that the same episode?
That's the same episode because she can't do the fun run because Sprinkles the cat, and who's gonna hug him? And you have to put the ointment just at the base of his tail and massage the ointment into the base of his tail, and you got to give him the the insulin yeah. and all this yeah. stuff, but you can't shake it. You got to rub it gently in your hands. Anyway, so
wait a minute. I think hang on a minute. Are we talking about? They're just making me laugh just seeing them. Hang on a minute.
And all the memes in the screenshots are so good.
Are we talking about this? Where the hell did it go? Oh, this. That?
Yes. That's the thing. And she pulls it down and they pixelate her tit as Oscar yells out, "Meredith, I can see your boob, prude." That's casual dress day.
Oh.
There are so many episodes of that. And it's so sweet. And the best thing about the show, and it's what the Big Bang Theory always suffers from, is like it just doesn't have that inherent sweetness. Everybody grows. Everybody changes. Every character gets a little bit less horrible, or they get like horrible in a different way. But it really is just so charming. And you're just so in love with Jim and Pam. They're just the cutest couple that's ever been yeah. on TV. And you just kind of find them. So,
and not in a way that you hate them, like in a way that you want to be them.
Yeah, because
like, because you see the sweet couples and you're like, you fuckers are not okay.
And Jim could easily be a bully. Like, he could easily be a bully, but John Krasinski just plays it so well. So, yeah. And there was a whole season that I had forgot about just due to personal life trauma that I just didn't pay that close attention to. So I didn't remember, like, why stuff happened. And then I've just been watching episodes. And then you just go through. And lucky, like everything else, there's a wiki page. So if you have any questions and you're like, well, how did we find out about Angela? You just go to the wiki page and it tells you. So any TV show that you watch now, find the wiki page.
I'm pretty sure Pam caught them in the warehouse. Anyway.
Oh, she knew all along. She found out all along. And she kept the secret because the episode where everybody finds out and she says, "I've always known." And Jim's like, "No, you didn't." And he's like, and he plays along like, "Oh, yes, you did." And she really did. Mm-hmm. She never even told him that she knew. So it was kind of cute. It's very, I've been watching too much. So a second
season. Meanwhile, this is fascinating radio because in the chat room, they're just cursing in Swahili.
I know. They're teaching each other how to swear in Swahili.
They've had it with our shit. They're just.
Well, they oftentimes just do their own thing in the old chat room.
So the second season
Marnie's here. Hi, Marnie.
Yeah,
she's been here all along. Stranger Things is coming. They have decided against, and I guess they knew this all along, but there had been talk of would they do it as an anthology series, like American Horror Story, and use all the same actors, just in a different story, but it's going to continue. The second season is going to continue on. Who's back, who's not? I think there's still some like contract negotiations. But everyone's excited. They feel they have more things from the 80s to rip off. And they have publicly come out in apology for sticking too close to the bad female characters of 80s movies, like sticking like without like improving what was wrong with most of those 80s movies.
Okay.
And the fact that they did that, the backlash over what they did to the one girl, like how that character just kind of disappeared one day and no one cared. Like they are kind of responding to that. So it's
all right.
It's kind of fun to
Isn't
watch.
Isn't it amazing the muscle that like the Twitterverse has?
Yeah.
And especially on entertainment, but just
and because it's so glaringly obvious. Oh, Harrison, have you watched Stranger Things? I don't even know. It's so glaringly obvious that some like one character something happens to and like the whole show forgets about it. It's kind of like the oldest son on Happy Days that disappeared after the pilot.
Oh, right.
And no one talks about the fact like you know you have another kid, right?
Rest go? Of the series, never
no,
saw him again.
It was never addressed. They mm-hmm. never address it again. That yeah. there's one less child in Happy Days.
I mean, Richie and Joni have an older brother who's off in the service.
He probably off camera just looked at somebody and said, "You can suck my dick."
Yeah.
And also,
so, I mean, I don't disagree with you.
Oh, of course not. Why would you?
I'm going to get my water. That was entertainment.
Wow. You know, it's 9 o'clock and we didn't do a drinking word, did we?
Well, it was suck my dick.
All right.
You know,
I didn't even think because I didn't bother with the crossover.
We didn't segue anywhere.
I didn't bother with the crossover. We've just been running amok since we started. Doesn't matter.
Oh. I don't care.
No, who gives a shit? Shizzle, minizzle, fasizzle.
I'm Judy Garland. I don't care.
Oh, speaking of that,
yeah,
I spent yesterday. Was it yesterday? Sunday. Yesterday was 9/11 stuff, but on whatever Discovery or whatever show I was on, they were doing, and I don't think they're new. They were new to me. Some documentaries on World War II and Hitler and the whole thing. It was interesting. And you say Judy Garland, he was Judy Garland through the entire war because of his doctor. that he was not a hypochondriac, but he had ailments and issues. Hitler was sick for his whole life, but he got in with this crack doctor.
Oh my God.
Who just would create medications and inject him with shit just randomly with all kinds of stuff. Well, they found all of the doctor kept journals daily, what he injected him with, what the concoction was, how much, all this kind of stuff. So they had doctors, modern day doctors,
yeah,
go through all of these journals.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, how was he even functioning at all? Like, based on some of the stuff. And they I guess they determined that one of the meetings that Hitler had with Mussolini, there was a 2-hour rant that Hitler went on in the, you know, obviously in the early 40s, where he just yelled at Mussolini for 2 hours. And they said, well, duh, because the concoction that he had given him was crystal meth. Like, he was just, they had him so hopped up. I was just telling her, I just had learned this.
I heard you.
Just Judy Garland, Hitler, the whole way through all of it. Like, he'd have a little ailment, and Hitler didn't believe that medicine was oral. Like, it had to be injected. That was medicine. So taking he didn't believe that.
Like a drink like that of was some quite, sort.
Right, no. If you weren't injecting it, and the doctors in this series were like, he was a pincushion. Like, there's nowhere on his body that had to be usable anymore because he was taking so many injections. Because again, it was, you know, it was downers at night, it was uppers in the morning, and then throughout the day, multiple times a day, he would just be shot up with stuff. I was like, it was just very interesting to me to see that. And then the fact that the doctor the doctor was just a quack, and he was dealing with rich people in Berlin, and then they just took him in and like, well, okay, sure, we'll sign you up. And they took him on the road with him. It was just very interesting to me. And then at the very end, right before, I forget how many days before Hitler killed himself, he released the doctor. Like, he's like, go do something else. Your time here is done. You've served me well. And he gets on the last goddamn plane out of the city they were in before it gets all overtaken and shot to shit, and then Hitler dies. He gets out.
Huh.
Our military had him for a while, and then they interrogated him, but he didn't do anything. Like,
right.
All he did was he was a doctor. That's all he did. So they let him go. And then, I don't know, he died. I don't know how long ago he died. But anyway, the journals were very interesting. But that was part of my education. On Sunday, I watched a couple things. And the other one was the, I can't think of her name off the top. They were not married. Well, they got married at the very end, right before they killed themselves. The woman who was with him the whole time through the entire World
Ava
War.
Braun.
Ava Braun. They showed all of her home movies because she kept a film camera the entire time. And shot all kinds of, like, their getaways and their vacations and everybody that was around him. Like, all this film was hidden, and she knew to hide it, and she left word as to where it was going to be. So when they got taken out, all the film footage was preserved and saved so that somebody could find it later and be like...
Yeah, they killed themselves together in the bunker.
Yeah, in the bunker below.
Crazy.
And it was just fascinating to find
it. And for your fact checkers that are watching The Sound of Music and worried about... I don't want to go there. But
I
anyways,
have wanted to fact check The Sound of Music.
If
yeah.
they went over
the hills, were not actually alive.
No. Nope.
If they went over those mountains that they're talking about, they would have landed right in like Hitler's vacation home.
Oh, okay.
They're not escaping to Switzerland. They're like heading right to the Führer. So it's kind of funny. Like, I have a friend that like.
Oh, maps.
Remember I told you guys about the friend that was all pissed off because Audrey, there was a black woman playing the Mother Superior in The Sound of Music, and he was all like. It's just historically incorrect to have a black person in The Sound of Music. I'm like, this is where you're going to start picking up out of The Sound of Music.
So now, are you this talking about the story or are you talking about the movie production? If they would have gone over the hill where they filmed that.
Yeah, in anywhere you do it. If they had really escaped over the mountains from Austria.
Okay.
From where the Von Trapps were to.
Okay.
And that was really their route out instead of what really happened in real life. They would have been.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So it's just craziness, and I still can't take my friend seriously after since that conversation. Well, December 2 years ago,
I know it wasn't me
that his father did not fight in World War II to have a black woman be playing the Mother Superior. I'm
oh,
like,
Lord,
but he's not racist.
Did
it's
you get up and walk
remember.
Out of the room? Did you just get up and leave?
I've never spoken.
Yes,
there's like no
there's
response
no response.
Amina, you are correct. They got married in the bunker like right before they died. Like, literally, like, right before they off themselves.
Right. So Ananta's asking for something seriously nail-biting and page-turning.
For what?
To read. So, and I offered up The Shining and Dr. Sleep, two books. It's a 30 years in between writing, and luckily the sequel takes place in real time, so it's like 30 mm-hmm. years between where little Danny grows up. And they are two of the fastest reading books, and they will keep you riveted if you read The Shining first and then Dr. Sleep. So I really have to recommend that highly. And
well, you're an avid reader.
Turning. Well, but I'm reading at a fourth grade level right now.
We don't know how well we don't know how well they read. Biting.
Well, because I'm reading the books that I'm hopeful that my child will read, and that I'm hopeful to sell to hundreds of children.
I saw was that the younger one reading what looked reading like coupons
the
or
newspaper.
Something.
He's so funny. Yeah, the youngest is in my newspaper obsession. There are fun little side effects. The youngest is obsessed with the grocery store. Loves it. Like makes a daily list whether we go or not. He just makes a list and writes it all out.
Have you got him into the coupon world where he's like going to be on that mode for you? Like you know, that's his thing. He organizes mm-hmm. and he puts it all together.
He's not quite there yet, but we'll get there. So right now he's just list making, and he is cutting out, but he's just cutting out pictures of the items that he likes.
Okay.
So we're still a little really we're still a little young.
I used to do that with the Sears catalog for Christmas.
Yeah, it's very fun. And so luckily, because there was some trauma with my newspaper subscription.
I did read something. You have to update us on that.
I'm going to right now.
Oh, God, that'll be exciting. Is this your segment?
Yeah.
Sure. This will be your segment.
Sure.
Yay, God, that's a segment.
I have some stuff, too. Okay. So on the newspaper front, when last we talked, I had very excitedly subscribed to the newspaper, received the newspaper. Things were going well.
Yes, local newspaper.
And then the following day, after the last Tuesday that I was here, the following day, mysteriously, I got a Wednesday paper.
Wow.
On my front walk.
Oh, that's coupon day. So usually if you get Sunday, you get the coupon.
But
day.
I didn't subscribe to it.
Oh,
like I call that suggestive selling.
Well, and I thought, well, maybe the delivery's just a little confused and whatever, mistakes happen. I'm gonna go with the flow. So then, go from Wednesday to Sunday. I wake up at the crack of 11:30 in the morning, and I go to look for the newspaper, and lo and behold, there's no newspaper.
Oh,
right.
Hark.
I know. I'm devastated. I can't even deal with it. Mm-hmm. And I go online, and clearly I've gotten up after any customer service is open on a Sunday.
Or if they're even open on a
Sunday.
Yeah,
so then
exactly.
No, they are. They're open like 7 to 11 on Sunday morning.
Right.
Yeah, for people to report that, hey, I didn't get a paper, and then they ping a message out to the delivery person.
Right.
And so I'm documenting all of this on social media. So any of you that follow me on social media,
I did see some of it.
This is kind of a repeat, but I'm kind of posting this on social media. I found out all of the contacts that I have that happen to work at the AZ Republic, because several of them reached out to me and they were like, "Do you need help?" And so I thought after that,
intervention. I think is what they're calling it.
Well, no, because they were
my whole prayer circle was in on it.
No, and I get it. Right, your whole prayer circle was working on it.
They mean so much.
No, and I do get it because they work for a dying industry, and they've got somebody. I wouldn't call myself prominent, but I have a fair amount of social media followers, and that word gets out.
Yeah.
And so Sunday came and went, and I was disappointed, but I thought, well, maybe there was a mistake, or maybe, God forbid, one of the neighbors stole it. I mean, I did leave it out there until fucking noon.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody just came by and took
it. There's always that person that thinks at 10 a.m., free newspaper.
Not free newspaper.
She didn't True want
that.
It.
Right. And there's, there's the house to the west of me.
I'm gonna get you security
I don't
cameras.
Trust those motherfuckers.
Security cameras.
Anyway, so I just sent a very polite email off to AZ Republic, because they have, on the website, I logged into my account and saw there was an issue there. It had me listed as a digital-only subscriber. And so I sent an email and I said, hey, here's what's happened and here's what I want, and hopefully you can help me. And this is Sunday afternoon, and I think, well, they'll get it Monday. They'll get back to me Monday. Mm-hmm. Monday comes and goes. Tuesday comes and goes. Wednesday, I get another Wednesday paper. I've still not heard from anyone at customer service, but I got another paper. Odd.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up talking to one of my contacts that works there that evening, and he was very helpful. He's like, listen,
in charge of ink?
Perhaps.
Vice president of ink.
Got it.
Yeah, and by that time I had spoken to a lovely woman at customer service who really didn't seem to get what I was after, but she thought she solved the problem.
Was just surprised that you actually had a subscription to the paper at all?
Yes, a little bit. Well, and it's all still just a little bit weird, because their records show that they charged me more than my credit card says that they charged me. I know. They're like, oh, well, you know, we've charged you $20. And I'm like, well, no, you charged me $12. Oh, but, and you didn't get last Sunday's paper? We're just going to go ahead and credit your account. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, I'm making money now. This is why newspapers are going out of business.
They can't count.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is, and I don't know if there was some intervention from a kind friend, or if the woman, the very nice woman at customer service, actually figured my stuff out. But so far this Sunday, there was a paper.
Oh, my God.
And so...
Now, tomorrow, we'll see what happens.
Who
it's
knows?
Wednesday for us bonus. Tomorrow.
Yeah, so the photo that you saw, the kids were very excited to bring me the newspaper. I was still in bed, and so they brought the newspaper into the bedroom, and I was like, well, all right, whatever. And the oldest had an annoying friend over as a playdate, so I was in no kind of hurry to enter the rest of the house. So I was like, oh, good, the paper's here. Can you bring me some coffee, too?
Be a lamb. Bring mommy some coffee.
And so then, knowing his affection for all things grocery ad, I went and pilfered through, and I found them for him. So as I read the front page, he read the ads.
What a beautiful home life you've described.
Isn't that nice?
Everyone's happy.
That's why you do
I
it.
I wasn't sure what That's he was looking at in that one picture. If he was looking at grocery ads or the comics.
It was grocery ads. But hopefully the comics will go through. Like, you know, you have to kind of instill that idea.
Right.
And they're young and impressionable still. You can instill that idea. If they see me reading a newspaper, then occasionally there might be something that I could say, hey, I want you to read this.
Yeah, and you get the bug going.
And it goes.
Mine was, I think we talked about it last week. Mine was...
Here's the picture you were talking about right there.
There he is.
Look at that.
Oh, now
shopping the sales.
On the bigger screen, I see it.
Okay.
Mine was...
Grapes were on sale
Reader's
this
Digest.
Week.
We talked about it last week, but there was always... every issue of Reader's Digest had a drama in real life, and it was always some like high stakes rescue or something. And I would just wait every month for that, and I just love the drama in real life. I would look through the list of things like...
I have two stories to tell you about now. Oh, after the show, I have two things to talk to you about.
Oh, okay.
That's very nice.
Reader's Digest.
So now, in your entertainment section, you didn't reference the podcast that you're listening to. Are there updates or just...
The 1600 one?
I'm still on Keeping It 1600. Amina made it, and somebody's got to send that back to me because I got lost in this week of work and lost the link to a crime one. But yeah, Keeping It 1600 is just fun. It's just funny. Very entertaining.
Is it?
And yes,
I've listened to that one a couple of times. I listened to 538, and I've got a new one. I've been on a bit of a history kick myself, much like Clayton McKee. I've got a new one called
Everything Before Now is History.
That's a true story.
Found out,
yeah. But no, like old history. This one's called Presidential.
Oh,
so a writer at the Washington Post decided at the beginning of the year. She said, well, here's a weird coincidence. There's this many presidents and there's this many weeks till the election. So she's been going a week at a time.
That's cool.
That's cool.
Doing an hour on each president. It's very, very cool. I'm up to Polk.
Okay.
Which is like 11 or something like that. And she does. She does a
William Henry? No, what's his name? No, it's William Tyler.
It was John Tyler. William Henry Harrison was only president for a month, and then he got sick and died.
He didn't wear an overcoat.
That's a myth, as it turns out.
Whoa! Dun, dun, dun!
And with the forensic doctors, it turns out that they went through the medical records of the time, the doctors that were treating William Henry Harrison, because he couldn't have died of pneumonia just from his record-length inaugural speech. He died 3 weeks later, and they determined that he was... The way that they were at that time in history dealing with human waste, they would take it to a field, and it was up the water supply from the White House. The White House water supply, and she like teased to future episodes that other presidents had also been affected by this. I think they said typhoid maybe.
Well,
anyway, he contracted something through contaminated water.
I think you're right.
Is it
called Presidential?
It is called Presidential.
Okay, I'm going to subscribe to it right now.
I have
now.
A question.
Yes.
Did she happen to say in this, if they were taking the waste
They called
uphill,
it night soil at the time.
Okay. When they took it, did the phrase shit rolls downhill, is that where this may have where it come from?
Where it comes
I don't
from.
Think that was a kinda colloquialism like
how the
at the time.
States got their shapes. It's how the saying got, you know, the shit was uphill. I don't know. It just seemed like.
No, and it's very cute, and it's more than she's taking a different angle than just rattling off dates and facts. She speaks to historians at the Library of Congress that actually study and read the letters of these presidents and the writings of these presidents. And she asks them, whenever she asks an expert on whatever president, she says, well, if I were to go on a blind date with William Henry Harrison, what would it be like? And then the historian is like, well, first of all, you wouldn't want to do this. And second of all, you know, it's, and some of them, it's very fun. Some of the presidents are described as very charming and some of them not so much. But she's going one at a time all the way up.
And some of them, like, some of them are funny because of their first wives. Like, I think, I just had the name and I lost it. I think Madison's wife, Lucy, made banned alcohol and she was known as Lemonade Lucy. And they had very unsuccessful parties because they didn't serve alcohol and the water supply was not that great. So no one could drink anything through. I think she's Lemonade. I got to look up who Lemonade Lucy is.
You'll
but there's some really funny first lady stories through there. And then, you know, people coming in and being like, this is a dump.
Right.
Like, what we going to do about this house?
Yeah, there were, and I'm
and
just,
the addition
I'm really
of the West Wing.
To,
and I remember one of the presidents introduced the West Wing to have to have an office and some.
Probably haven't got
feel
there
like
yet.
It was a Roosevelt. No, I haven't gotten there. Yeah. Got there yet? I'm not even to Lincoln yet. Lincoln is still five or six presidents off from where I'm at in the succession because I just started at the beginning with Washington and off I go and.
Yeah.
No, I'm doing 2 or 3 weeks, so I should make it there before.
And I love all that kind of bullshit.
And it's so and it's so cute and just. Easy listening. Like, it's just easy to listen to. It's my new podcast obsession.
Because there's probably, like, 15 presidents that you really know something about, and you're like, but there's 44.
Right.
What were the other 30 doing?
Yeah.
Like, who was that guy?
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, well, and almost all of the names, most people will be like, oh, yeah, I heard of that guy. But why?
Yeah.
You know?
Like Millard Fillmore, half of Buffalo is named after him. Turns out he's one of our presidents.
Who knew?
Yeah, but I mean, seriously.
He was part of the Whig Party.
Yes, he was, because he is pre...
my boyfriend told me.
Yeah. He is pre-Lincoln.
Yeah.
But, I mean, most of Buffalo, like, it's called Millard Fillmore Mercy Hospital. Like,
okay.
The whole city's named after him. That's our one claim to fame.
There's that. Yes.
Oh, yes. Lemonade Lucy is Rutherford B. Hayes.
Lucy.
Thank you,
Anand.
Thank you for Googling.
Gosh,
unless you just had that in your head.
Good work with the Googling.
Information at your fingertips.
At your fingertips. What time is it? Oh, I got time for stuff. What do I have?
Well, whatever you got.
What do we got? Here, I've got something funny.
Okay. That'll be a first for this evening's show.
Settle down. All right. So, what was the date on this? Doesn't matter. Date doesn't matter. So recently...
Timeless.
As you know, like trending hashtags are a thing and can often be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So recently, the hashtag how to confuse a millennial began trending.
Oh, I like this already.
All right. And it was fueled clearly by the baby boomer generation. And the baby boomer generation is what, 1950 to 60? Is that right? Because I know my parents are baby boomers.
Well, I would have thought my mom would have been
55.
A baby boomer because it was post-war.
Baby boomers are like 45 to about 62-ish.
As in year of birth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my folks were born in 55 and they...
Okay, yeah, so they would have been...
You're the tail
like the
end. Yeah.
Right. Because like I'm the end of Generation X, beginning of that middle don't know what. I'm not a millennial. Anyway, so this is clearly funded by people that lived... when these things were actually true. Things like...
Baby boomers, 46 to 64.
There you go. Things like, ask him to spell the word bay. Ask them to fax you something.
I can do that.
Try to fix their video games by blowing on them. Show them how we used to Google, and it's a picture of a set of Encyclopedia Britannica.
Of course.
Ask them to work overtime. Talk to them.
I like that it's that easy.
Oh, yeah.
When asked for an iPad, give them a notebook and a pen. Explain we used to be social before media. And the list goes on and on and on. However...
There's a little backlash, wasn't there?
There was a little backlash because the millennials, of course, instantly were notified that this was trending. And they responded...
Their stupidity was trending.
Yeah.
All the things that they can do that their parents can't.
They responded, Hashtag how to confuse a millennial. Have them wake up Sunday morning to a hashtag like this where you vilify them for no reason. How to confuse a millennial. Destroy the housing market. Replace grad jobs with unpaid internships and then tell them to buy a house.
That's fair.
Tweet stuff showing you think millennials are your teenage children living in your house. We're in our 20s and 30s. Tell them mental health is important while they run between three part-time jobs. Rant about how everyone gets a trophy these days while sipping from your world's greatest dad coffee mug.
Oh, that's good.
Continuously blame them for problems that were created generations before them. Be racist, homophobic, transphobic, etc., yet also complain about how this generation is disrespectful.
Yeah. Well, that's fair, too.
Right? Yeah, the comebacks were just better than the original jokes. Millennials won, baby boomers zero in this particular
I thought
battle.
Maybe there was going to be they would have produced a list of how to confuse a baby boomer. Give them an iPad and tell them to go. Yeah. in some cases.
Try your best.
Yeah.
No trophies awarded.
No not everybody's no winning.
Amina, I have now, she put the link to the podcast she was trying to sell me on. I was currently open on the podcast page, so I just subscribed to it now. I'm ready
Very
to go.
Very nice.
I have subscribed to both of yours.
Very nice. Podcast City. Up in here.
The Nervous Vegas?
Yes. The vagus nerve is it makes you vomit. It goes from like here down, and it's one of the things that your vagal nerve, like if you're having like your heartbeat's beating too fast, you like bear down like you got to poop or you cough, and it slows down your heart rate. Your vagus nerve goes all the way through your body.
It doesn't sound like something I want to listen
that
to.
That all doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No, but it's a murder. It's a murder mystery.
Oh, I thought this was an educational.
You know how
thing.
You get me: serial killers, presidents, history trivia, serial killers find love.
Put them all together.
I'm in.
And Al's
oh my
a
God.
Happy, happy girl.
Jesus, if Dexter showed up on Vice, I'd never leave my house again. That made myself laugh. It was something that wasn't even funny.
I love it. Let's see. We talked about Indiana a little bit. Talked about the Twitter thing. I'm running out of stuff.
You got to play that clip. Did you get that clip
well,
ready?
I've got it here.
Now I don't know which one of his what is our gentleman friend's name? Our new interviewer,
Randy Rainbow.
Randy Rainbow. Now, are you going to play his taking on of the great pause, the Trump pause interview, or his taking on of the taco trucks?
Oh, it's the taco truck.
I love
so,
taco trucks.
On what's Joy's? I think her name is Joy. Morning Joy is the
thing. Oh,
the
Morning
show.
Joy on MSNBC.
MSNBC is having a conversation, and she has a man who is referencing Latinos for Trump, and he's talking about his dominant culture and the great worry of what will happen, what Latinos will do if Trump is not elected. And Randy Roberts takes over the interview.
Randy
here.
Rainbow.
Randy Rainbow.
There we go.
And we are back. I'm joined now by Marco Gutierrez, founder of Latinos for Trump. You may also know him as co-founder of many of its sister organizations, including Jewish Mothers for Adolf and Dalmatians for Cruella. Marco, thank you so much for joining me. Let's start with the obvious question. What the f***?
And he just sits there.
Let me expand upon that. You are one of the only Hispanic advisors who has not yet left the organization. We're hearing that many of the group's six members have jumped ship faster than Leah Remini at a Scientology barbecue. Faster than an audience for a third season of the Caitlyn Jenner reality show. Faster than Mariah Carey at a Made in Manhattan viewing party. So I guess my question is this. Bitch, are you crazy?
No, I don't think so. I think my friends, we stand with Donald Trump. There's a lot of Hispanics that are in the closet.
Please, girl, I know. But let's not get into my sex life. Polls are showing that Hispanics are rejecting Trump in huge numbers. Can you refute that?
Yes, because the polls are done in two blocks. You have the born citizens here, and then you have me. Like I was born and raised in Mexico. My section, it's more against Donald Trump because of the relationship that they have with the unlawful immigrant. But you have the natural borns that are more in the 40-something percent.
Okay. Thanks for that. And just so we're clear, those percentages came from the poll conducted in your ass?
We need to understand that this is a different time, and we're having problems here.
What problems?
My culture is a very dominant culture. And it's imposing and it's causing problems. If you don't do something about it, you're going to have taco trucks every corner.
Wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't even know happened. I actually need to step back and just be with myself for a second. Actually, let's bring me onto the panel. Randy, what the hell is this guy talking about?
I don't know. This shit is literally crazy. You
know, a taco truck on every corner. I don't know that that would necessarily be a problem so much as it would be the solution to all of my problems.
Oh, I know. I love tacos.
Donald Trump is a genius.
Well, thank you, Marco, for joining us with that invaluable bit of insight and for helping me decide not only who I'll be voting for this November.
I'm voting for tacos.
But also what I'll be having for lunch. You guys want tacos?
Donald Trump's a genius.
I seriously considered grabbing the sidewalk chalk and drawing my own little taco truck's parking spot in front of my house.
And the best part was it was the night after or 2 days after we did the taco show here.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
where totally. We had bemoaned like the how many turns Marnie had to take to get here with tacos.
I think my favorite part of that video is when he said, because it's a side by side, like any interview.
Side by each.
It's and also when he stubs, he's like, and he just looks around and he looks over at him at the other side. It almost made me think of like The Daily Show and they were broadcasting from a street far away and they were 10 feet away.
He is so funny. And he took on the
taco trucks on every corner. God damn.
The show about, the interview where the CNN interview was like, well, you know, Donald is losing in many polls. Which polls? Many of them?
All of them.
And all the pauses. So he puts himself into that interview, and it's just funny. So
that's magic.
Randy Rainbow is a funny find on the YouTubes. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
The YouTubes?
The interwebs.
Sure.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not a millennial, so I don't know.
No, because you weren't born between 80 and 2000, according to... what I read on the lines.
That's very nice. Oh, I just missed it then.
Yeah, so what comes after the millennials? Like, what are they? Well, millennials will be older than. Millennials will be like 38 years old.
Millennials are
6 years old.
80s to 2000.
Good work with that.
Then you come after, is it Gen X is there next?
No, Gen X is there before that.
Oh, I'm the Gen X. We're Gen X's.
Oh, good.
It's way 60s, too big.
There's a Y 60s, in there somewhere.
Early 60s to the early 80s. Then you go to the millennials. And then what's after those little motherfuckers?
Oh, yeah, because I thought...
7 year olds?
I thought I was Gen Y. I thought we were Gen Y. I thought the bridge between...
Calm down.
Baby boomers...
May I read?
Yeah. Well,
see, and I thought Y was like 80 to 90.
Millennials, also known as the Millennial Generation or Generation Y, abbreviated as Gen Y, are the demographic cohort following Generation X. There are no precise dates for this generation starts and ends. Most researchers and commentators use birth years ranging from the early 80s to around 2000.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to have to call my sister and tell her she's a millennial.
So now,
she's 81.
So what do you... I want to... what we call when you were born in the 90s.
Millennial. You had for the
80s. Did I say that?
Yeah.
80s.
Oh, my bad. God, he'd still be a millennial? I keep looking at the younger generation. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Because... so in that story, what were they... they were Gen Xers or they were Gen Ys?
Gen Ys.
So we're Gen Xers. We're the
generations ranging from the early 60s to early 80s. So yeah, we're Gen X, they're Gen Y or millennial. Oh, so he would be a millennial. Got it.
Because we were the generic ones. We were the ones that nobody knew what to do with us. We were the latchkey kids. We were the products of feminism and jobs and
broken homes.
The baby boomers
MTV
rebelled and we went the other way. We were the Michael J. Foxes, the ones that went back to conservatism.
According to the PewResearch.org poll, in April of 16, the millennials surpassed the baby boomers as the largest living group.
Because baby boomers started to die.
Sure.
Yeah.
When there were no more made.
Yeah. No, it's not. It was one of the things that we ran into like a couple presidential election cycles ago was that the first, was it 2000? It must have been 2009 would make them 65. That the first set of
baby boomers
were retiring. That they were all becoming. They were gonna. The first set were all coming of retirement age, and what burden was that going to put on Social Security? So now we're living in that age of
because it's the largest, healthiest generation.
Yeah.
According to the wiki page, Gen Zs, Generation Zs, they're the ones who follow millennials. There are no precise dates according to what this says for them.
Because it's happening now. They're being shot out as we speak.
And you don't know what they're going to cling to or what they're going to look back to reverentially.
Probably iPhones.
Yeah.
Probably. There's that. They're not going to have any idea.
Because I always like to tell, you know, I grew up with, all the girls I grew up with are baby boomers, but mm-hmm. I'm later. So that's why I call them aunts and uncles. But I always tell them, like, I'm not a baby boomer. Like, wrong era. I'm from a different era. I'm so much younger.
So
you
much.
Want your MTV.
Right.
Yes. And that is yeah. literally my era.
That's kind of the cutoff.
I was 14. Like, mm-hmm. I was just the right age.
Your kids understand it? I mean, probably only because they've always heard it. But do they get why the phrase is, hang up the phone?
I wouldn't imagine that they do.
So what do you? How do you describe that to them?
You say hang up the phone.
No, right. But
do they know why?
They don't know why it's called hang up the phone.
But then they'd be like, well, I'm texting. Why would I hang up?
Well, right. No. Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mine are a little
end the call. End the call would be like the new phrase for them.
Yeah.
Because hanging up, obviously, when it was mounted up on a wall.
But then younger people are like, why are you calling me? Like, can't we do this with text or Snapchat?
Can't
I just say this in high heel slipper, birthday cake, firecracker, pile of poop?
Oh, I love emoji conversations. Yeah. Yes.
The other thing that I though confuses them, like the fact that you have keys to your car. Like the newer, younger kids, because they're just all a fob.
Yeah.
You don't insert anything in a door. You don't turn anything in cars. Your houses are that way.
But. Oh, I was just gonna
say. I remember when your car came with three different keys.
Oh, yeah.
For the love of God, I don't even know what that's about. I was looking at you like.
There's an ignition key, there's a door key, yeah. and there's a gas key or a trunk key.
Well, actually, in some cars, there was a door key, and the glove box actually was separate.
Oh, sure.
It was a different key.
Sure.
For security reasons.
Yeah. Clearly.
But, no, I mean, I still have my two keys for my General Motors gently used vehicle, and it does seem odd to some people that you have to walk out and open the door. Well, as soon as I get to the truck, I'm going to open the door because I'm going to put this key in, I'm going to turn it, it's going to magically open the door.
Yeah, even I look at that like, okay, Grandpa. I didn't know that technology, like, there was still things on the road that had that technology.
Yeah. No, that still happens.
It's called paid for.
Or what was, my car's paid for too.
Right,
what
no,
was,
right.
What was,
why is it paid for 20 years?
I can't remember, I really don't remember if it's from real life or if it's from a TV show, but I feel like it's real life, that I got in a car that had cranked down windows.
My truck has those.
I know, but I don't roll down my windows in Arizona.
Oh.
Smart.
But I remember, but it wasn't me that said it. Like, somebody said, roll down your window, and I just remember somebody being like,
how?
Yeah.
I don't know what any of this means.
That'd be my kids, because I've got automatic doors. Like, I pull up to the curb at school, and I hit a button, and it goes,
right.
opens right up.
Yeah.
And they get really confused when I turn that feature off. They're like, what the?
How do you get out of here?
I have to do it this way. And they just get all groany about it.
Oh, my poor neighbors. The way that I hold my keys on top of the fob, because my house key is on there, and the key for my bike, and somehow the way that I grab that key chain every single time as I'm going in the door, I set off my car alarm for 3 beeps, and it's almost every morning.
Well, that's so. I hope they have day jobs, sure,
because it's like anywhere between 7:30 and 8 o'clock every morning. They hear those 3 beeps of me just fucking that up, and I'm like, God, how do I do
it?
Like,
well, I don't think it's even 3 beeps. Isn't it 3 horn blasts from your car?
Perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. It's not bleep, bleep, bleep. It's not that. I'm pretty sure. We don't set an alarm anymore. The guy that lives next door to us wakes us up every fucking day.
He gets home about 7:30 and turns off his fucking car alarm.
I know, and especially weeks like this when I'm like, been constantly getting home. It's been a long week of work.
Oh, do we have a are we doing bullshit or are we going to thoughtful? What do you want to do?
Oh, let's go to thoughtful. And this is your time to write something very quickly about a thoughtful vulgarity question.
Oh, those people.
Everybody in the chat room. But play the teaser. We'll think of something.
Oh, how exciting for us.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck. We'll go pumpkin spice on this one.
Is that a way of saying taking it easy?
No, just like as we come to the end of yet another summer, and the nights broke right on schedule, night of September 1st, it was 20 degrees cooler. Like,
yep,
is it right magic? On time? What do you look forward to besides? Oh, look at Joe actually had it.
What?
Wow.
Oh.
Like, what do you look forward to? Like, what about this, besides the end of the heat?
About fall?
Yeah.
Turkey.
Ooh.
I'm ahead of Thanksgiving already. I'm playing in my Fakesgiving.
Wow, really?
I'm playing in my Thanksgiving plans.
It is my favorite meal of the year.
Turkey. In fact, I had Sharon roasted chicken with stuffing just the other day because I couldn't wait for turkey and the whole chickens were on sale. I was like, babe, roast a chicken like it's a turkey. And I had stuffing for dinner the day afterwards. Just stuffing.
I see.
And roasting a chicken is easy and delicious because they're so much smaller. And if you have a roasting pan, bam, yeah, you get yourself and you just shove that fucking
shove some stuffing in
ass
there and stuff him in the oven and baste him once in a while. Yep, yep, yep. It's turkey time, kids. Don't you remember 10 Days of Turkey last year? Like, this is a thing.
Yeah, it is for me, too.
I know. We go
this is
all
a thing.
And then every year we do our little mini Thanksgiving in here.
And I was looking at my calendar. I'm pretty sure I have to do the big Fakesgiving party at my house like 2 weeks ahead. So it's going to be...
Oh, wow.
It might be 20 days of turkey.
It's going to be the entire month.
It's like an advent calendar at this point.
It's Turkey-tober.
Turkey-tober.
Yes.
If that's a thing, I'll celebrate.
Sure, so, sure.
Here's how much of a thing it is. It's still in here. Yes. So what? I was at the school today, and my friend who works there, she texted me. She says, "Hey, are you gonna come to school today?" I said, "Yeah, I'm coming by. There's a meeting, whatever." She says, "Good. I have something for you." So I went and I found her, and she's like swamped busy, and she runs to her desk real quick and like flings this at my face. It's a big banner that says Friendsgiving.
Oh, that's cute.
That's touching.
Where is that from?
I have. I'm going to go with a discount store of
some sort.
Well, it's
got a barcode $3 on the back.
Here.
You could probably scan it and find it online.
Okay.
I can ask. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like one.
All right.
Oh,
because you do a Thanksgiving too. Yeah, yeah.
But my friend does, and so I would like to send that out to them as a little house gift for their annual festival.
That's very nice.
Festivus.
Yeah, started in my honor.
I'll find out.
Not in my honor, but started because of me. I did it out here for a long time.
Sure.
And now I
think a lot of us did, you know. Sharon and I started it in Pennsylvania, partly because I wasn't close to my family, and partly because we love turkey so much.
Yeah.
So we would cook our turkey about a week ahead of actual Thanksgiving and do it with our friends while we lived back there.
And I would usually do it the Monday or Tuesday before because I was always off.
Yeah.
Actually, the last one we had at my house was with... Di's mom with hash browns and hashtags and trying to figure out what the hell hashtags were.
Oh, God,
where we were fully baby boomering what it meant to hashtag something.
Yeah.
Just a whole conversation.
I remember the show episodes after that used to drive me crazy because that was before I was a regular.
Barney, that's still a heat related thing.
Yeah.
But I would understand that. Aaron not bitching in general, I think, would be good regardless of the season. I think that should be the goal. Just get her over a lot of humps. For me, it's two things, because of the heat, but I'm looking forward to just projects that are put off because I do work in my shop. I go outside. I do projects outside because it's just, again, it is too damn hot to be out there. And I'm looking forward to, a new set of, long sleeve V-necks for the winter.
Oh, it's so nice.
Yeah. I get a new set every year.
Trying to fit into pants again. That's going to be a thing.
Huh?
Finding out if last year's jeans fit. Doubtful.
Oh, no. No. We're not going to talk about that anymore.
The struggle is real.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Just to get them on.
Yeah.
The struggle.
Oh, my God. Mine is just to have this election
over.
Be over.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I like elections and I like the campaigning and I like everything, I reached my peak last week of like this has gone on too long. Like we need some kind of complete and total overhaul of this process so it's not a year and a half long.
There's no comedy left in it. Like there's no it's just a hateful, hateful year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is the problem.
It really
and that's what's souring so many people is that it's so much hate.
Yeah. And we lived through 8 years of Bush, we can live through anything. You know what I mean?
Sure.
At this point it just doesn't fucking matter. Just get him off my TV. I can't.
But I do agree. I'd love it if they just shortened this up and it was like a maximum 6 months, done.
Yeah, the British season is like maybe 6 or 8 weeks that they just bam, 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 it's done.
I like that much better.
Yeah, it just really does. It's just gotten obnoxious. But really, and then just to get to the point where everybody can just be nice to each other again, and everyone's not like...
Makes a lot of cookies.
Yeah, or as Soledad O'Brien says, like, we're kind of normalizing hate speech now. Like, now we're just taking the pro-white movement and making it just something that's common, and you should scream it. You should stand in Arizona and scream at people. Like, just to have all this be done, it's time to put it to bed. Like, last week, we just reached a level of ugliness that I just can't take anymore. Like, I swear my blood pressure raised, like, 30 points during the course of that speech that I was like, this is not what anyone should be doing.
To how any of this works.
Yeah, it's not how any of this works.
Hashtag, this is not okay.
And then I think an adventure to Sedona should be coming up in our future.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, there's that.
Like, it cools off here, go somewhere even cooler.
Interesting. Sure. I'm in.
On board. I think we can call that a wrap, don't you?
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, look at us making magic on a Tuesday. Marnie, Amina, Anant, Joe D, Missy Al, of course that's you, Drew, everybody who's been in the chat room, thanks so much for being part of it on this Tuesday night, show 274. It's the 6th of September where we are, and maybe the 7th where you are, wherever, whenever you listen. Thanks for doing so. Booey. I don't know. That's about all I got for anything exciting. Marnie, I'll probably be back with us next week. We hope so. Round out this table of I almost said round table of idiots, but it's an oval table.
It was very laid back.
It was.
Like, even writing over very here, I was mellow. Like, very NPR.
Well, we'll wrap up tonight's show and leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show on Q Talk America.